Oh no. They kill the panda. What else is gonna go wrong today?
What the f is going on down there?
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to WTF and TFW, where despite like a constant exponential hailstorm of whatever hitting us every time we want to start recording, we're going to record tonight. God damn it, we're going to record tonight. My name is Vangelis. With me today is Aaron.
Yeah. I'm shutting off Twitter because bad things.
Shut off Twitter. Close that thread. Close the other thread, unless you want to keep F5ing it. I don't know.
What about that third thread?
Leave the third thread open. Why not?
Okay.
There's nothing. Nothing could possibly go wrong. Also here today with us is Omega's Prime.
Just to be safe, I'm going to unplug my modem. Would that be bad?
They might call you and say something happened. So yeah, just unplug the phone.
Okay. No, close your window. His modem.
No, you got to leave the modem in so we can podcast. But delete your email application. Because they might send it urgent, and it'll come through even if you aren't go and send receive. Unless I'm the only guy left on the planet who still uses Outlook. I don't know. I like Outlook.
Yes, you are.
Why do people treat me like a weird old person when I say I use Outlook?
Same reason we look at you like an old person when you still have CDs.
I like CDs. You know what I did, actually? I bought a Collide album, like a CD, off Amazon, and then I went onto their store and bought the DRM-free MP3 version as well. So I don't have to open the CD now, and it'll stay nice and pristine.
Cool.
Shut up! We're here today to talk to you about Transformers, and we're going to get the tough one right out of the way, and it's not going to be long, I hope, unless something else gets said. Let us record our podcast. If you're a Transformers fan who is very active and buys things online with a credit card, do go check your credit card statement, as there has been a rash of credit card number theft over the last couple days, including our podcast's own Gog Dog, among quite a few other TFW members.
Very good friend Gerodimus as well.
Are you kidding me?
Foster Logger.
Foster? Oh, okay.
Oh, come on.
Did Boardwise also get hit with it, am I remembering?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. So, people we know have been hit with this. Now, I have a few numbered points I should lay out. Number one, even though a lot of these credit card thefts have happened with somewhat eerie timing in relation to the pre-sale of toys named Overrun and Shattered Glass Drift, there is no proof that FunPub and their recent sale has anything to do with the credit card thefts. There's no 100% proof that connects anything to anything. Number two, even if, hypothetically, this were somehow connected to that sale, FunPub's own security was not at fault, as I believe they publicly stated they use a third-party credit card provider, what would they be called, an operator?
The most businesses use somebody else to handle those transactions.
Yeah, a processor, if you will.
Yes, processor.
So if any kind of security leak did happen in regards to the sale, it would have been on the part of the third-party credit card processor. So number three, I'm real glad I didn't place an order because FunPub's international shipping is such BS, and I got in on a group buy. But number four, I really hope that General Techno does not suffer any credit card number theft for any reason whatsoever, not related to anything that may have happened. And number five, this is not really directed at anybody in particular, but especially with last year's utter debacle with the PSN, PlayStation Network, having to answer to the Supreme Court due to online credit card theft, as well as their caginess about exactly what happened. They're taking over a week, I believe, if I recall correctly, to notify anybody of a potential security risk. If I were to perhaps be in a position to, say, use an existing email list to not even say anything specific, to just say, hey, there may be a credit card issue hitting online Transformers fans right now, and we think it would be our civic duty to just let you know other fans are having credit card theft for reasons that you don't even need to state. Just say online fans are suffering credit card theft. Since you're an online fan, as you have an email address, perhaps you should check your credit card statement. And then as a follow-up, don't answer any questions asking for specifics. That'll just kind of leave everything to coast nice and driftly off into the realm of next month where everyone will forget it happened. That's all I'm going to say, and I think we should keep it all nice and civil. Omegas, you didn't do an order for these things, right? You're not a member of the club.
No, I'm not in the club.
And even if you were a member of the club, that wouldn't put you at risk necessarily.
No, absolutely not.
Aaron, you did you do an order yourself
yes,
for something
I did.
That may have put you? But you haven't had anything happen to you, have you?
No, I haven't. In retrospect, I put that on my debit card, which is risky because the last time I had card theft, it was on my debit card, which locked me out, and I had to operate on cash on hand for a week.
Although, to make a point, even if you did suffer some kind of debit card theft, it would not necessarily be the fault of a specific order you placed over the last couple weeks.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest issue that I have with all of this isn't that the breach happened, but the response to it. And if you follow me on Twitter at AKSMTH, you will see a lot of that reaction. I think the club has done a major disservice to themselves to not get ahead of it. Identity theft is something that people take very seriously because you do end up with a situation of there's somebody in one of the threads that has said that his mortgage check bounced because of this overdraw issue. So you end up getting people at a very nervous point. Mm-hmm. And I think that they've done themselves and all of their members a disservice by not getting in front of it. Because I know 4 or 5 people here in town that are members of the club that have very little to do with any sort of online presence. Even discounting boards, they're not Twitter people. They're maybe Facebook people with direct friends and family to share kid pictures that aren't going to be tapped in and watching threads and things to see what the progress is and what's really going on. It's just all of a sudden, all my crap got stolen.
Yeah, and
thankfully, none of the people that I know locally that have dealt with it have had that issue either. Well, I know Jared, but
he doesn't count. He's on
the offline people that I know that.
And hey, maybe that's
potentially
a symptom
would have
instead.
Been in on it.
Like maybe these credit card thefts happen to people who are online a lot.
Yeah, so, and there are plenty of things, and I think I said it on Twitter, and I said it on the pre-show. You know, I was more than willing to stand. I know that I'm often called. You know, if something happens, and everyone's like, "Oh, I want to see what Aaron has to say."
Yeah. Well, actually, let me double onto this one. I don't want to repeat ourselves too much. I think you and I both entirely agree that to accuse any given collector club of some kind of niche geekdom of poor security themselves would be a faulty statement.
Yeah.
There was no security fault. If it's even related to these pre-orders, which we do not know if it is, it would not have been that internet club's security at fault.
Yeah.
Because of the way that stuff works.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's happened before with Sony. You know, one of the largest companies out there has had this issue. Theoretically, it was either TF Source or Big Bad Toy Store or what was the third one all in one
Robot
time
Kingdom,
frame last
think,
year? Robot Kingdom, yeah.
Basically, we deduced it was between the major online toy retailers, some leak happened. None of them handle your credit cards. It's all third-party credit card handling companies. So, you know, it is certainly not a case that, like, if there's any kind of disappointment, it is only at the response and the continuing dragged out, escalating every 3 to 5 days response. But that's all something you can learn about on Twitter, because I don't want to talk about it on here anymore. I'm tired of it. It's a complete nobody who needs to hear anything is listening to us. So let's just leave it. And the important thing is check your credit card numbers. Make a habit of it anyway, because you never know.
Since I did have my stuff stolen, I have all of my online banking accounts all linked into one piece of software, and I check it every couple days just to be sure where like my bank accounts are at and all that fun stuff. Mm-hmm. And if you're more proactive, hopefully you will see those test charges, those $1 charges, 1 penny charges, and be able to tell your bank, hey, something screwy's going on here. Go ahead and cancel that before that $3,000 charge comes through for, what was my thing, skateboard decks and
hotel
skater
rooms
culture
in Europe.
Watches was my personal one. This round has been British hotel rooms and Australian groceries. So I blame anybody I guess that's...
I bet it was that damn Q-Dog.
It might have been Q-Dog. I was thinking anybody that's a part of the Empire still.
Oh, you mean the Welsh?
Well, yeah. It would be the Welsh. Let's see who else is the titular head of state of Canada.
Well, I mean, they're all Welsh, really, right?
Like Canadians
all this,
are?
All this year. Hey, Canada had nothing to do with this.
Who's your titular head of state?
Nobody. Me. Canada had nothing to do with this. Speaking as the King of Canada, we had nothing to do. Unfortunate that this happened to people for reasons which are entirely not 100% locatable to any one given instance that may have sinked a whole bunch of credit cards into the same hole that was then taken by some dirty Europeans and Australians. But we Canadians, we are avowed of any kind of, you just stay the hell away from our country. We will shoot missiles at you and your goddamn mother. Don't screw with us. We're Canadians, all right? We're going to...
They'll start throwing poutine and maple syrup.
I will sink your goddamn yacht with my goddamn cruise dog missile. Anyway.
Yeah, that's a thing. That's a thing.
Follow us all on Twitter. Yeah. Moving along from there, we do have something else which has been hotly discussed and screamed about, although in this case far more at one another. Fall of Cybertron through Game Informer and then through Game Informer's website, and then I believe through a leak in Game Informer's website, given the way that we saw these pictures at first. We have photos, the official photos, of most all of the Fall of Cybertron Combaticon toys, as well as a piece of concept art for Bruticus himself.
I think we've gotten all the toys at this point.
Yeah, we have all of them. Yeah, we got all the limbs, both modes, we've got Onslaught, both modes, and we have a shot of Bruticus. So we're set. I thought we could maybe discuss each of the individual deluxes first, and then Bruticus, just for the sake of some kind of organization. So let's start off with the ones we saw first. Let's start off with Swindle. I think Swindle has excellent colors, really cool modes. I think his robot mode is a little more shouldery than I would have liked, but that's just personal preference, really.
First thing I'm going to say with all of these photos as a blanket statement.
Horribly mistransformed, I'm sure.
Yes.
No.
Swindle looks like he has that weird kind of double hinge that might be able to push his shoulders further up.
Yeah, I'm just thinking in terms of the tires on the biceps.
No. Yeah.
They're just kind of, I don't think of Swindle as being quite as beefy, but again, this is just personal preference.
Well, if that clips up higher, that could go a long way to kind of blending the tires into being shoulder a little bit more and bicep a little bit less.
Yeah, typically Swindle's very squared off that way.
Mm.
But
also, I will say Swindle has some huge purple goggle eyes.
Yes,
which is we have had a guy who may have done animation models for some cartoon once saying that is like a defining point of Swindle for him. So I hope he appreciates it because I put a lot of hard work into. Yeah. I had nothing to do with this toy, truth be told. But Omegas, what are your thoughts on Swindle?
He's looking pretty good so far. I mean, he's one of the ones that just really made me excited for all the ones we're getting right now.
Hmm. And Aaron, how are you feeling about the Swindler?
Looks good. My first thought was it looks like between his waist and the weird gap in his shoulder that it's probably a step or two off of transformation.
Oh.
And then you go back and you look at all of the classic photos that we've gotten of other toys over the years of early promo shots and gone, what the heck is that? Oh, he has it upside down.
Yeah, there's a lot in these, in every single one of these guys. Like at Bruticus especially. I'll just say it right now. Guess what? Hasbro hires contracted photographers who already have trouble with the toys. This is the first time any of them have had to handle a combining robot of this scale in like 10 years. Be happy that the limbs are even attached to any of these guys. Be happy like they aren't in pieces.
Yeah, well, the one shot of Bruticus that we have looks like it's just the torso with no arms or legs.
Oh, that was from Game Informer. Yeah, they just turned it into the torso. Which, actually, I think that is from the main shot that we got later. But I'll save that for Bruticus himself.
Well, fine then, you do that.
I guess what? I'm saving it for Bruticus himself. Let's talk about Brawl. I think that even though Brawl has what looks like it could be a pretty low-hanging backpack, I'm finding both his head sculpt and the angles on his body to be dynamic enough to make me not really care.
Yeah.
Brawl is another one that I'm kind of liking. Between him and Swindle, they have Cybertronian vehicle modes I kind of enjoy. Like Swindle's is very akin to like Soundwave from War for Cybertron. Mm-hmm. And Brawl's, it looks so much like a hover tank. I think it actually does a better hover tank than War for Cybertron Megatron did. So I'm pretty into that. Aaron, how are you feeling about the Brawlster?
Yeah, what I really like the aspect of that really low-hanging backpack is that looks like some heavy, heavy-duty ratchet joints.
Oh, yeah.
That would potentially be a very heavy-duty ratchet knee.
Oh, yeah.
Which means this thing will be able to hold some very heavy-duty posing.
I like your constant use of the term heavy-duty.
So massive finger crossed that actually is going to be the case and that we'll be able to rock some solid knees.
Yeah.
In this bad boy. I like the look of him. He does pull off a better hover tank than Megatron does. I think Meg's hover tank issue was kind of messed up by the fact that he also had a normal tank mode.
Yeah, the weird sort of flip the treads down deal.
Kind
of cool, but
you know, it was cool, but it's one of those cases where, you know, where triple changers have issues.
Yeah.
Of, you know, you gotta sacrifice a little bit.
Also, when the cannon wasn't in on Megatron, didn't really look much like anything.
Didn't look, yeah. Plus, I really like how his pistol drops down between his barrels and looks like, you know, and on Swindle, the gun sits on top of his mode, which that looks like it's a gun that should go there, but yeah. It looks like it's, okay, well, we gotta find a spot to put this. Okay, here's a screw hole. Bada bing, bada bang, we're good. Whereas on Brawl, it turns into another cannon.
Mm-hmm.
It looks more like it's supposed to be in place there, especially when you're talking hover tank cannons. More cannons are better.
Exactly. Omegas, how are you feeling about Brawl?
Brawl, I probably like a lot better than Swindle.
Mm.
He is looking. I like the solid look of him. I love the angles to him. You know, exposed pipes and all of these little details that go into him. There is such a major advantage to being able to do a combiner with War for Cybertron designs, just because you have so much more freedom to move things around.
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah, it's one of the big problems that we've had. Well, it has to look like a real car. Okay, so the windshield's got to go somewhere. You know, okay, the canopy, the roof, the wheels. You know, and here they can pretty much get away with anything they want. Okay, they don't want Brawl to have wheels. He's a hover tank.
Yeah.
Simple.
Or even like he turns into a foot. Hey, how are we going to have any kind of stability on the foot? Well, he's a hover tank with prongs sticking out. Those prongs can then fold to be supports on Bruticus's foot. Oh, perfect. All right. I agree. Perhaps that is why Bruticus became a candidate for actually... I don't know if I said this here. I don't think I have. The very concept of a 5 Deluxe combiner happening right now is kind of big news, regardless of how it turns out, because a combiner that didn't involve auto-transforming non-robot mode limbs or some other kind of weird, like, shrinking factor, like an actual just full-on combining toy, I don't think that has happened since R.I.D. It's literally almost been, like, 10 years.
I am more than happy to eat crow on the number of times you're like, yeah, Hasbro's not going to do it.
Yeah,
now, you know, they said that these are the reasons why they won't do it, and I perfectly believe it. And then they did it.
Hmm. It's cool because even in R.I.D., the five combiner we got was Bruticus anyway. And
but that goes all the way back to being Scramble City combiner.
Yeah,
just redone.
Yeah, and the combiners we've gotten since then. I mean, okay, in R.I.D. you've got Rail Racer and Landfill. Mm-hmm. It's 3 and 4 components. We got the Scramble City style combiners in Energon and thus Universe
Two
/ Revenge of the Fallen.
Yeah,
those did have the cop out of only using 3 molds for all 5 toys.
And more importantly, and I can't believe I forgot those. They were part of my whole point on Twitter. Yeah, because it's been nearly 10 years because of the Superlink Energon combiners. But the big difference between them is they used, ignoring the number of molds, it was a deluxe core with 4 scouts. This is going to be a deluxe core with 4 deluxes.
Well, just just by concept alone, how long has it been since we've gotten a combiner of five completely unique molds, like Scramble City style combiner, like this?
With
Scramble
robot City. Modes and vehicle yeah. modes.
Yeah. It's been the 80s.
Well, you could argue that the Transformers Collectors Club's what was his
repaint
name?
Repaint doesn't count.
Dildo Man, whatever he was. he was technically five unique molds. Like the Energon ones were weird because technically there were three cores and six limbs that you could
yeah.
use, and so that like the ignoring fiction, there's weird technicality there, but that's why I kind of make the bigger point is that those limbs were all scouts, and
right.
these limbs are the same price point as their core. Speaking of that core, Onslaught, clearly, even if there are mistransformations, clearly he is suffering a little bit by being the main central piece. I think his head is really clearly Onslaught. The only part of him that I actually kind of didn't dig was just the thinness of his arms. Otherwise, I think he looks fine. Even the thinness of his arms doesn't bother me that much because this isn't Classics Onslaught. And if you can mount that double barrel gun on his back, I think it'll compensate for it really well, combined with his huge shoulders and the wheels on his shoulders. His vehicle mode, to me, is unbelievably mistransformed because it's not even a case of me trying to be nice here. I'm just saying there's a big gap in the back of the vehicle mode and then a huge chunk that doesn't look like it's supposed to be on the top.
Yeah,
held there
it looks
by
like
arms.
That should maybe fold down.
Yeah, so if it doesn't, then that's a bummer. But it looks to me, just from this one picture, that there is an entire 2 to 5 steps of transformation yeah. that's been missed.
And then the great thing is that mode looks almost, I mean, that looks very thematically similar to Optimus Prime.
Yeah, a huge Cybertronian truck.
Yeah. It's great that it's like, look, you know, kind of the same as the game. There's, you know, 7 styles of dude.
Well, that's also tradition for Motormaster, is that he is supposed to look like Optimus Prime a little bit.
Mm. Except for this isn't Motormaster.
This is Motormaster's pal.
Okay, I didn't sleep well last night.
These fall Cybertron Stunicons are amazing.
Ignore me. Who are you people?
The vehicle mode also just, like, between the double-barreled cannon and the just very squared-off nose, I think does some really cool callbacks to the original Onslaught, just mm-hmm. very minor ones. But, I mean, hey, guess what? I think it still looks like it could be okay. Worst case, hey, his arms are too thin. Mm. So he's a B toy rather than an A toy so far. We'll see if that's true once
again. I think half of the issue of what's making his arms look thin, too, are the fact that it's an awkward angle and he has the gun.
That
trying
as
to hold
well.
The gun two-handed.
Yeah.
I think if it was a dynamic gun in one hand held up, it wouldn't look quite as bad. Because it looks like through the forearm there, it's plenty thick.
Well,
it's a skinny. They're taking that odd skinny angle, letting you see that there's a hole through them.
And it tapers at the wrist too. And I think that I find the gray biceps just look a little. And I understand why they are that thin to fit yeah. inside back there. But they also just have a bit of a thin look. The thing is, it doesn't even look just like ungainly thin. It just looks thin for Onslaught. Is really
yeah.
about it. Like and that is I think the bigger thing. It's not even that the robot mode looks like it's like categorically bad in any way. It's just it's as Onslaught has qualities that make you kind of double take. Mm-hmm. But that said, it also is a friggin' combiner torso, and there's a Bruticus head inside there somewhere. So I don't really care.
yeah, I think it's traditional that the middle piece is going to suffer the most for the rest of the combiner.
Yeah.
Yeah, I kind
especially
of felt
that doing
way.
5 at the same price point.
Yeah. Right. For sure. Any other thoughts on Onslaught? Or
he's not Motor Master.
That is true.
Just yep. want to clear that up.
Thank you for pointing that out.
Generally, the theme of Onslaught is that
he
he's not Motor
Master.
He looks
like a freaking truck, okay? It threw me off for a second.
Well, technically, Onslaught was always a truck with a long yeah, nose. He was, in fact, he was more of a long nose than anyone else was, aside from all the ones I'm forgetting.
It is kind of a brilliant little thing because that is so easy to turn into the torso and the hips.
Mm-hmm.
It's such a cheat, but it works.
Yeah. I want to see this engineering in person. Also, I'll throw in here, by the way, we're very close to Toy Fair.
Next week, yeah?
Yeah, and I believe Ben Yee of BWTF.com was on Twitter saying he really is looking forward to going to Toy Fair and hugging Bruticus. So I think there's a good chance Bruticus will be at New York Toy Fair, and hopefully is it New York Toy Fair? Am I getting that right?
Yeah. Toy Fair New York, maybe.
Hopefully, given the track record that this is not an impossible thing, that it has happened before, members of fan media will be able to actually mess with the toy a little bit, or at least get the folks running the booth to turn it around or maybe tweak parts and see if it does still look kind of odd. Maybe there are still tweaks that can happen. We'll get to that in a bit, though. We still have two more members of the Combaticons to talk about. Let's talk about Vortex, the helicopter. This one, I actually don't care about the colors. The colors are fine to me. And I believe that they, especially if you remove the Photoshop gloss aspect, they're apparently somewhat accurate to the game in various ways. Just not accurate to, you know, everyone's gray and purple perception of Vortex from G1. But he is actually the one that's doing the least for me, which is weird because I like his head sculpt a lot and I love his chest sculpt. Mm-hmm. I think it's just I find his legs look the weakest of the bunch, only because...
For sure.
Not even in a way where it's like, oh, they look terrible. It's just like they look wonky. In terms of angles, in terms possibly of construction. Also, just for some reason, I don't care that there's no cockpit on his vehicle mode, but something about the front of his vehicle mode isn't doing it for me. I know the comparison has been made that he looks like a spiked, bladed, flying penis, which is not something I am opposed to at all. I think that's in fact great.
I had not heard that comparison. I was
going in a different direction, but okay.
Oh.
I was thinking it looks kind of like an insect with no wings. It's bulbous.
He has a proboscis. Back. You know,
I didn't mean to ruin this for you. I'm sorry about that.
I thought you would have gone the insectile route, not penile route.
Yeah, I read it on Twitter, all right? I didn't say it. I read it on Twitter. Twitter's a dirty place, all right? Don't fall into the Twitter trap. It's bad. Stay away from... Also, I want to see if you can mount his propellers on his back, because I'm not really feeling convinced by the way they're being used as a weapon. It's just I dig what they're trying to do. It's just like Dark of the Moon Darksteel does a similar thing with his mech tech weapon. And when it's a double-bladed weapon that is held like a gun in that style, it doesn't really work for me. I like his sword. Like, there's still things I like about him, but for me, he's the weakest one of the five. But, Omegas, how are you feeling about the Vortex?
Well, as mentioned, the vehicle does look like an insect of some kind.
Hmm.
Not anything else, just an insect.
And, okay, let me clarify. Even if I'd never heard that on Twitter, I just find the vehicle mode aesthetics are somehow not unifying for me that well. Something feels off about it.
What feels off to me about the vehicle mode is that these are the colors that we got for the Universe 2, what ended up being Revenge of the Fallen swindle.
Oh, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's kind of throwing me off here, is it feels like its colors almost came from a completely different combiner character.
I forgot about that swindle.
Yeah, but other than that, I will agree the legs are really throwing me off in the robot mode. I really like the rest of them. The rest of them looks fine, but I don't know. I think part of it is the fact that I can see a giant robot, you know, slap hand stuffed into one of his legs. Yeah.
At the same time, it's kind of awesome that there's a real, like, just hand sculpted in there to pop out.
Well, yeah, I don't have to plug it on and eventually lose it.
Yeah. And it's not just going to be a power core hand.
Yeah. Twisted metal just folding out. This is another onslaught for me. I want to see some better pictures of this thing before I cast judgment upon it.
Mm. And Aaron, how are you feeling about Vortex?
Covered most of the point. I still feel like the colors are off on both of these arms. Just because that's not what it was when I grew up. But I did make the rookie, rookie, rookie arm motion too. The side to side yokel motion.
Oh, I heard it.
I think sculpt wise for his robot mode, he's fine. The alt mode, I just wish that front end wasn't so heavy, or maybe if the detailing was different, it'd be a little bit better.
I kind of wish it was thinner.
It just looks like the balance point would be off for something like where those propellers are. You think about, this is some engineering here, so hold on. You would generally want your lift point to be about your center of gravity so that you're not tipping one way or the other. And that looks like those propeller blades are just too far back. So if it were to take off, it'd try and pull the butt up before it pull the front end up.
Hmm.
Basic mechanics.
But then again, this is Cybertron. Air shouldn't exist. Why is there a helicopter?
Because he's just a rocket ship that cuts people when he flies by them.
Yeah.
Okay, then we're not concerned about his butt rising up.
Yeah. Well, okay. One more limb to go, and then we can talk about the big part of this. Blastoff. I'm going to go last, because if I go first, I'm going to talk over everybody. So I'm going to go last. Omegas, what do you think about Blastoff?
Oh my god.
Continue.
Number one, this thing better not crumble into gold dust in like 2 years.
There's no possible way.
No.
Yeah. No way.
You're fine.
Okay, other than that, this thing is freaking amazing. This set is worth it for him alone. I love this aesthetic of I am just a cockpit with a massive engine behind me. And that's my vehicle.
Well, that it actually looks a bit like was it the Ark? I thought that there was some What am I thinking that that looked like? That there was something in recent media that had just a big engine. Why am I pulling a horrible blank?
I mean, I've seen this aesthetic before, but I cannot tell you specifically. Yeah, I mean, it actually reminds me of Warhammer familiar. A lot. It reminds me of Warhammer 40K.
Yeah, it does that too. But it's not that great. It's not that great Games Workshop plastic, though, so that's probably...
I mean the aesthetic of the art of it, not...
Was going for our serious Warhammer 40K crossover that we have.
It'll happen. Aaron, any other thoughts though on Blastoff?
Again, colors. But I do like the look of him. He's definitely a different aesthetic as a robot, but it still works for being the idea of this is something designed to get orbital.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wanted to say quickly the gold sheen on him. I'm not convinced either way of what that is. He could either be the somewhat safer gold plastic, or he might just be tan with a huge amount of Photoshop filter on top.
Yeah, that could be too. Mm-hmm.
We're not really going to know, I think, until Toy Fair.
I think Hasbro is aware of gold plastic at this point.
Oh, they are. I mean, and I think that like gold plastic, it's able to be made more safely now when it does happen, like in... movie preview Starscream, the one who turned into a fireball.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was all gold.
Yeah.
All the time.
Matt Dowdy of O'Vonnell Designs, in his Glios line, has actually used a gold PVC plastic that is meant to be bent and stressed. So, it exists, I think. But, okay, that's it. I just want to drop my quick thoughts here on Blastoff. I friggin' love this figure, and I'd buy it even if he wasn't part of a combiner. Because, number one, first thing I love about him... Both of his modes do not look like they're part of a combiner at all. Like, there's nothing sticking out on either of them that is like a giant fist. There's no giant blatant forearm. I love it. Number two, I love that his vehicle mode looks like a giant flying death church. Like, that's what it looks like to me. Between the gothic angles, that window that forms his chest... Like that triangular church-like window, the enormous organ pipes in his engine. Like, to me, he looks like a flying death church, and I kind of love it. I think this toy looks great. His hips, yeah, they're kind of wide. That's about it. I also love that his vehicle, like his transformation, looks fun too, because his legs and like the front half of his vehicle mode is just his torso plate. And everything else, like, transforms into the back half. I kind of like that a lot. So I think this is a winner, myself. which leaves us with the main attraction. We've gotten our first photo of the combined Fall of Cybertron Bruticus, and the photo is terrible in so many ways. The angle is awful. The arms and torso look really mistransformed, even if I'm going to be mean and think some of the mistransformation-y stuff is just how it's going to be. I think the potential of it still looks great. I am still excited to own this thing. I think that people who think this is a giant slap in the face and is the horrible thing ever, all that has happened is they have now learned the disappointment of the stock photographers. That's about it. We're not going to know anything else about this thing until Toy Fair. Aside from that, apparently it seems to use power core ports, going by some of those stumps we've seen on Onslaught. If it does, that'd be kind of cool to have some power core crossplay. But that said, I really don't think this is how, if this is how the final thing turns out, okay, whatever. But I mean, just to look at Blastoff's arm mode, the elbow is not only pointed the wrong way, but is located below the waistline. I just, I do not see that happening on a toy that is released this year from Hasbro and Takara Tomy. It just, that kind of obscene level of oversight, like to actually have the joints in there but placed so badly, just doesn't seem like it would happen with this design team, or even the newer, not, it's not even a new design team, it's just the altered design team with the lack of Siba Nailer.
Yeah.
As far as we know. Like, the I don't think that this is what it's going to look like when it's done.
It looks like the hips should be up behind the crotch plate.
It looks like a lot of stuff, you know, should be in different places.
That'd drop
places.
Them down, and then, yeah, it looks, yeah. There are things that are seriously not quite right. That.
Mm-hmm.
But what I pull away from it is all of his little guns combine into one big crazy gun.
I like that.
That makes me smile.
That's what the original Bruticus could do, if I recall correctly.
At least by the time he came out in RID.
Yeah, well, I think
I can't remember,
like,
if the original one could do it all the way, but the original, in RID, everything did.
The original could kind of do it, and you had to kind of BS and fudge, I think, one or two of the connections, and then the RID remold molded in solid connections for the fudged ones.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, the color placement, the colors are fine. Once you kind of mentally remove the Photoshop shine, Omegas, how are you feeling about what we have seen of Bruticus?
I pretty much largely agree. Outside of the legs, it looks like pretty much everything else is hideously mistransformed.
Even Brawl, I think, going by the character art, I think that Brawl, has another step that would cover that exposed purple joint, to fold the cannon up.
Yeah, maybe. And it was so weird going through and seeing these things one by one. You just get so excited for them, and all of a sudden you come up with this, and it's just this badly done, just this badly transformed.
Horribly transformed.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you.
And that's,
I mean,
being nice.
Yeah, I mean, you can see that some of this is intentional.
Mm-hmm.
Like. But then again, you look at Vortex, and you look at where the gun is, where he's holding that, and I'm not sure how he's holding that considering he had that flat hand molded in, unless there's like two fists hidden in him.
There's and even the angle on this photo, like, to me, it looks like they rotated both arms slightly forward, and then took this shot from the bottom up, which makes everything on the top half look even smaller.
Yeah,
right. We're trying to make him look imposing. You take it from below.
But you can just tell. Look where he's holding this gun. That's where his fist is. You go over the other side, and that's almost where the elbow is on the other arm.
Yeah,
yeah. One arm is longer than the other one. That right there,
by a ridiculous amount.
You don't have that problem?
No, I don't, because I didn't do weights with one arm for 5 years. I kept myself somewhat proportional.
Come on, that's a great party trick for grade schoolers. Look, one arm's longer than the other. Here, pull. Oh, there, he fixed it. Thanks.
Also, he has two vestigial tiny Onslaught arms sticking out of his kidneys. So, even if this thing, like, here, I'm going to throw this down. I think that whatever the case, the arms are not going to look third party amazing. The arms are going to end up looking a little bit janked,
yeah.
But that's because they seem to be trying to put elbows in them, and that's some tricky stuff. I dig it. I am ready for the arms to not turn out all that great. But I think they're going to look better than they do in this photo. Other than that, I find this Bruticus quite exciting. I am going to own him. I think a lot of people are going to own him. I'm also going to, I am sure that United will release their own version of him, which I will probably buy because I am a sucker for combiners. I also want to throw down that given that this is possibly going to be the most bought official Transformer this year, guess what he is probably going to have a whole lot of? Third-party add-ons. So for those of you who find... I am sure that any imperfection anyone finds in this guy will have one, if not three, other people's interpretations of how to fix them available for nominal to overpriced fees of $5 to $50. So...
You mean we can get a crazy Devi add-on kit?
Yes, a crazy Bruti Devi add-on kit. I think you guys remember that weird era when third party was getting real, real popular and everyone had City Commander?
Yeah.
You remember that era when every new company coming out would come out with a City Commander add-on of some kind?
Yeah.
I think we're going to... I do not see that as being an impossible thing to occur again with this Bruticus set.
No, keep telling me ideas. I like what you're selling.
They'll come up with, like, I don't know. I mean, look at TFC's Hercules. By the way, if you're comparing this to Hercules, you're nuts. I'm just going to throw it out right there.
$50 worth of toy doesn't compare against $600 worth of toy?
Monetary values aside, Hercules was designed as six Voyager parts count toys. That's six Voyagers combining versus five Deluxes combining. It's already apples and oranges to me, even if Hercules... cost $30 a limb.
Yeah, especially when you're talking about a third party toy that basically has no budgetary limitation whatsoever.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I'm trying to make it as even a comparison as I can, and even then, just if you just imagine that Hercules was mass produced enough to cost $30 a limb, it's still apples and oranges to me. But that said, Hercules has so many add-on things, like G.I. Eddie made a screaming face for it, so you could have, like, an alternate face, which Dr. Wu then manufactured himself and then gave credit to G.I. Eddie for, and is apparently recomping him for the idea borrowing with, like, free stuff. There's a dude, I forgot who he is, he contacted us on Twitter, me and Velkaisis. Me and Baltan. He's doing forearms. He's done forearms for Hercules, specifically so you can have Hercules' treads folded up into his shoulders like the G1 toy did. He also does a drill hand for Hercules. There's someone who put together new thigh extensions for Hercules just so his legs would be a bit longer than they are now. So I think that there are going to be hell of tons of things done for this Bruticus. I'm not saying that that's an amazing, wonderful thing. I'm just saying it's going to happen. So if you have any, like, minor imperfections with this guy, I am really sure someone will have you covered at some point if you're willing to pay the money for it.
I do have two things that come to mind looking at the toy. Is number one, seeing how this is probably going to be the most purchased Transformer in forever, this just might open up a door where this is not just our dream anymore. You know, we might get Stunticons. We might get Protectobots.
The precedent set by this thing existing to me is pretty fantastic. I do not blame people if they don't see it the way I see it, but just consider, like, I wonder how the sales of Power Core combiners went now that I see this. Like, even though there is a 2-year development cycle on this, I cannot help but wonder if Power Core Combiner's sales actually went better than we might have expected. That's just something I wonder.
Yeah.
And you're absolutely right. If this thing sells well enough, it could prove that this is viable in some form. I mean, and I've made the analogy. This is like lightning striking the same goose three times, in that this is a combiner made of Deluxes in a collector-oriented Deluxes-only line from a video game. Like, that, yeah. That's a whole bunch of stuff that each one of those single things is already kind of amazing. I maintain the fact that War for Cybertron even got toys is still, to me, kind of amazing.
Yeah, I'm with Seth. I want to know how many minds have been blown at High Moon.
Yes.
We kind of got lucky before getting the three toys that we got before, but now it's like, bah, and then it's like, what? And eight toys and a combiner.
How do you think High Moon feels being at least partially responsible for having the first combiner of this size in like 10 years? Yeah.
Oh, man.
There's some dude that's still sitting there looking at it, at the prospect of it, you know, or 6 months ago or a year ago when they knew this happened. Like, you're doing what now based off of us? Us? You're... Okay, I'm going to need a moment here.
And let me just say, I fully understand folks who are kind of tired of Bruticus being the be-all, end-all of all combiner revelations. Like, the first third-party combining-oriented thing that I recall with original robots was the Crossfire Bruticus. There was the Crossfire Superion add-ons, but the one that got all the attention was Crossfire Bruticus. Bruticus was the one who got brought back for RID. Bruticus is the one who got repaints into the first iteration of Universe. Bruticus, Bruticus, Bruticus. If you are kind of tired of Bruticus, that's fine, but even if this was not Bruticus, even if this was, like, actually, if this was Monstructor, then that would be, like, a fifth lightning strike on that poor goose.
Yeah.
But regardless of how you feel about Bruticus or the Combaticons, this is still kind of amazing.
Yeah. There's two things I want. I want the Ruination repaint, and I want Generation 2 Redux 2.
Okay, you know what? Both those things not only should happen, but I am sure that one of those things will be claimed by the Transformers Club within the next 3 years if one of those things doesn't happen.
I want my royalties for that.
You ain't... Well, you provide them with your... I'm not going to say it. We're going to see more of this guy come Toy Fair. Now, the more questions raised by this as well. We were told from UK Toy Fair there would be 8 deluxes in the New Generations line. The big question is, does this guy constitute 5 of those 8 deluxes? People who have done the math with what we know have said that just doesn't seem very likely, because between this guy, Shockwave, and Jazz, that would be 7 of the 8 deluxes.
They announced Optimus Prime, too.
And they announced Optimus... So,
that's 8.
I don't see them doing that as the lineup for the entirety of Fall of Cybertron.
I don't know. I could see a Fall of Cybertron wave.
I guess.
8 in a box, and you're reducing your odds, because that was one of their previous concerns with doing combiners, is ending up with uneven shipping assortments.
That's right. True. That's true.
You could get away with it for like a wave 1.5 with the first 3 deluxes, but after that, the only way to get it to come fairly would be to move to like 10 per box.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which also leads to the next point to be aware of, which is that I bet you this might be tricky to buy for the first couple weeks.
Yeah.
People will be all over this thing. Now, I kind of hope that people are all over this thing, because that would mean huge amounts of sales, which means that combiners are viable again. But also, you know, be ready for a bit of a hunt on this guy, I think. That's my thinking. Anyway, if you want to get the Generations versions, maybe United will sell it as a gift set, because Japan can do crazy stuff like that. Who knows? If they sell it as a gift set, even if it looks identical, I'm going to buy it to keep in the box, probably. Because can you imagine if they sold it in a gift set like the old Super Link combiners, with them all in robot mode arranged in that lovely box, just ready
and
to...
And then I see if Japan's doing a gift set, they're probably going to do it in G1 colors, just because.
If they don't, it'll be like a limited run thing for Wonderfest or something like that. And like, just look at the Dark Side Megatron Optimus set they did. Like, just...
My God, can you imagine E-Hobby doing one of their crazy all-black repaints on this thing?
Cool. All black with like teal lining and gray lining, like Night Ops Bruticus. Also, let me just say, I am a little bit biased because I do like Bruticus a lot. I love his arrangement of vehicles. I love that even when you kind of even things out, as modern Bruticai have done, it's still kind of crazy to have things like Blastoff and Vortex and Swindle as part of the same team. Even though Fans Project did this, like Swindle is commonly not an open topped Jeep anymore. He's like a truck, which means that his size is not quite as ludicrous. But then you have a rocket ship and a helicopter, which throws everything off again. Anyway, I can talk about this thing for a while. I don't think it's going to be the best toy in the world. I think it'll have problems. I'm still really excited about this Bruticus. The idea that I'm going to be able to go out there and track down combining robot parts that are not unofficial toys is astounding to me. How long have we talked about this Bruticus?
Plenty.
We've talked a whole... Yeah, we're getting close to an hour here. I think we should move along. Any parting thoughts on Bruticus, or shall we just leave it for the Toy Fair coverage?
Leave it for Toy Fair. Hopefully Toy Fair will fare us better.
Yeah, shut up and take my money.
You know what I was really worried about? I thought that we were going to get stuck with just that one crappy set of photos of Brawl, Swindle, and Bruticus's torso. Like, it would be the worst pre-Toy Fair discussion ever, because we'd just sit here going like, well, I guess we'll see the rest in a week. But happy surprise. The only downside is happy surprise, it's all Hasbro photography. So,
Well, we do have the one picture that you skipped over of the concept art.
Well, I mentioned it briefly, but that's true. Yeah. That picture, I think, really helped fill in a lot of the mistransformation, or at least informed me of mistransformations, because I know he's not going to look exactly like that concept art,
gives you a better idea of like what the right arm is going to look like, and the fact that the hips actually are up behind the crotch plate.
There are simple parts placements that like the most obvious one being Brawl's cannons.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly there is a way for them to fold up in some way, and clearly they're meant to point that direction. So boom. Anyway. Let's move along from there, because we've talked about that for a while. Let's do a nice, calm round of new picture picks. Aaron, you go first.
Drill tank. We got an official image of Cyberverse Knockout with the with the Energon drill tank.
Mm-hmm.
It's a Cyberverse base set. It's a Cyberverse playset I'm going to get.
It looks like it's not perfectly like the show, but it is so close to the show that I want it so much.
Well, what I think may happen is the stuff that hangs out on the sides, I think that may flip back around.
Wasn't there a photo of it that came out that was like transformed? I recall there being a front page item, and I glanced at it.
I was paying back through. I didn't find it in the first four pages.
I do remember seeing one where the rear was completely.
Oh, here it is. I found it.
I must not have been looking well enough.
It's part of a catalog shot, but you can see the weapons that Cyberverse Knockout comes with. He comes with both weapons. That's nice. But see that's the thing from the show. I love that.
But it's just it's in that overall picture. Yeah, I glanced right by that. Yeah. I've got a little jack that I can maybe put in that.
Yeah, I wonder how
towards somebody's eyeball.
I wonder how the kids are going to look in that drill. Like the kids from the entertainment pack.
Yeah. If they're Cyberverse, they're going to be I bet that'll scale.
Cyberverse playset.
He'll be a little bit taller, I think, because do I have a Cyberverse around here? Yeah, I do. Yeah, Jack's going to be tall.
Maybe.
Yeah.
And Megatron will be small.
Yeah.
But
you put that going up to the leader Megatron or the Voyager Megatron.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Man, I gotta echo something I saw on Twitter. I'm real happy that all these Prime Tour reveals, like some of these we'd seen before, but some of these are so new and they're all coming out from Hasbro.
Yeah.
Guess what?
Yeah,
on Hasbro's Facebook page. That is how you use social media. Anyway. I love it. Omegas, you were saying?
I was just going to say, the Facebook page has been kind of kicking ass lately for new reveals.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just in general, just so these are none of my picks or anything, but RC.
Hadn't seen it before.
RC, better picture of the Viacon.
Yep.
It's awesome. Hotshot, which I'm obligated to mention.
We now know he's Hotshot, which is good.
Mm-hmm.
Cybertron inspired. That was nice.
Mm-hmm.
the controversial knockout.
Yeah, I'm okay with that knockout, honestly. I mean, there's parts of it that are wrong, but to me, he's among the contents of RID. I think he's completely okay. He's not perfect. I'd like him to be better. He's also clearly mistransformed.
Yeah.
Again,
there were people comparing it to the prototype, and this just hideously malformed.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think his chest is going to look like the show, but I think his shoulder pads are more important, and I think that they are accurate enough for my taste. But it's cool. I'm real happy that they're showing off this kind of stuff. Omegas, let's just move on to you. What's your new pick?
We got color shots of the next Kabaya set that interested me.
Hmm.
Mostly because we have a Dezzaris in there. And oh my god. I can't go into work. I'm speechless here.
Did you notice that his breast partners are the Pack-ins with the other two?
I know.
Yeah.
I love that there's an Optimus Prime in this set, and he isn't the selling point to get all three.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I really want to know how that hot spot transforms.
Yeah, that one is interesting too. I mean, they're doing Protectobots.
Yeah. For Gaia Cross.
Mm-hmm. So it's not completely random, but in the context of their main like Kabaya Transformer model kits, yeah, this is kind of out of left field a little bit.
I love how his existence is kind of to allow for Optimus to have blue legs and for Deathzaurus to be the right colors.
Well, I don't know though, because it's coming with the six part, or it lining up with the six part. I don't think
it's lining up with that too. But
I don't think it's a consolation prize. I think it was.
I think it's
a genius masterstroke.
Yeah, it's extremely well timed, because Deathzaurus needs to have that kind of blue, and it looks good on Hotspot.
That's the perfect blue for Hotspot, really.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I'm digging this Kabaya set. Really makes me wish I had all the other ones.
I'm still upset because I missed Wave 4. I have to go back and pick it up. And this one is like first day I see this available, it's mine.
Yeah, I'm gonna be. I think it's gonna be my primary convention purchase is gonna be Kabaya Transformers.
Yep.
Now, if you had actually checked out my sales thread over at tfw2005.com, you could have bought a whole bunch of them.
I have an entire Hercules. I'm poor. Can't
excuses,
buy them right
excuses.
Now.
You're YouTube rich.
That's why I'm waiting for the conventions, because those will be in a few months from now when I have money for Kabayas. But no, these look really cool. Well done, Kabaya. They're still, I think, doing a great job with you know, the obvious limitations of making 300 yen versions of Transformers. I have a double shot new pick. The first one is actually just a bit of a news update. We got the press release from Hasbro for Toy Fair 2012. And among other things, they make a big deal about bot shots, and then they kind of say that there are going to be 44 different bot shots figures. I don't know if we got that number before. I'm going to have 44 bot shots, I think. Who's with me?
Yeah. Maybe not 44. But
I'll dabble in the line. I know 44 is a kind of a lot to have for those
who
little guys.
Who is going
to
join me in being awesome and having 44 bot shots?
See, this just screams bot shot tournament at BotCon.
Everyone's already trying to come up with a way to make bot shots involve shots of liquor.
Yes, you lose, you take a shot.
That's
no,
right.
No, you win, you take a shot. Then you move up the tournament ladder. That way the finalists are completely plastered.
You play, you take a shot. There you go. And if your Transformer doesn't transform right, you not only lose, you take two shots.
You're sitting here watching, take two shots.
Yeah, right now. Thank you.
If you don't have a pony in this game, you got a drink.
Also, there's some more interesting info on Creo. Thank goodness Creo is going to do one of those things that I was really hoping it's going to do. It's going to branch out to another IP. is going to branch out to the upcoming friggin' Battleship movie. It's going to be a Creo version of the, what's it called? USS Missouri. From that Battleship movie, I love that it exists. Because that movie looks like, I think I said this at MAGFest to some people. The Battleship movie looks like some dudes who were just, they were told to option scripts, come up with script ideas and story ideas for movies based on Hasbro products. So these guys were like, they're never going to make a movie about Battleship. Let's come up with this crazy story. And then when they got picked up, they were like, all right, well, there's an alien spaceship in orbit shooting pegs into battleships. How about that? All right. Like, they are doing what I would do if I was given that much money to make a movie about Battleship. And I cannot fault them for doing that. Like, it looks like a glorious quest of madness.
Only rough thing is I have a nerd glasses push-up. The Navy no longer has battleships in active service, and the Missouri that this is portraying is now a museum ship.
Maybe this movie takes place in the past.
That could be.
It's an alternate past where Liam Neeson and aliens. It's an alternate past. Also, apparently there's going to be a new tagline on Creo Transformers called Quest for Energon, featuring 2-in-1 builds where kids can learn the search for these long-lost pieces of Transformers lifeblood. That sounds interesting.
Some clear pieces in the middle.
Yeah. It sounds neat.
I'm predicting many Energon cube here.
That'd be nice. Cool too. You could use those with actual Transformers and not have it look too terrible, aside from the pegs. Anyway, yeah, I'm happy Creo not only still exists but is expanding. I think Creo has potential. If they do the right choices. And between picking up a non-Transformers IP and picking up the idea of doing Creon packs without having to buy Creo sets, they're well on the way to doing things that I think will be pretty cool. I'm pleasantly surprised by that. But moving on from that press release aside, the real new pick I had was this glorious revelation. We got to see a catalog photo of the Creo Devastator set. And guess what? Creo Devastator looks like a big pile of Lego bricks that kind of in the shape of a robot. Now, here's the thing.
Oh, my. Yeah.
The thing to remember about that is that giant thing can be broken down and then assembled as 4 construction vehicles or 4 Creo robots, which I am more interested in seeing. However, here's a kind of cool thing. Number one, he has a drill for a hand like G1 Devastator could have. That's a really odd throwback. Number two, his Creon is Devastator. On the bottom right. See that Creon?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's crazy. That's like Action Master Devastator, but on a whole new level. I kind of love it. I don't think I'm going to buy it, but I kind of love it. I cannot hate this thing. I also want to see what the builds are for the individual robots and the vehicles.
The hard part of this picture is the fact that it's completely 100% unpainted, so you cannot tell that weird black thing in the center of his torso mass is actually a head.
Yeah. He's like a Gurren Lagann robot. He's got a giant head for a torso.
Well, for a second, when I first saw this, I'm looking at this giant, like crane arm thing that's holding up one of the little human Creons. I was like, that's not the head, is it? I cannot tell. I'm lucky I can tell this thing has feet.
Yeah. It's interesting. Also, the color choices are real interesting, because that orange reminds me a whole lot of the knockoff Devastator that everyone knows and loves from years prior.
No. Between the yellow, the orange, the green, this thing came out of a Walgreens.
Well, also, the drill hand. What, of all things to homage, that is amazing. It's homaging the drill hand.
I don't know how much of that is necessarily homage.
Devastator with a drill hand, that has to be aware of what it's related to.
I hope it is.
It has got to be aware.
Maybe that's a good retcon awareness, but
I'm not saying that this is a great toy everyone should buy. I'm just saying that I think it's cool.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's cool with the caveat that I would not want to actually spend $90 or whatever this costs to own it. If I see it on sale for like $30, I might buy it because lol. But don't know. And hey, Devastator Creon. That's already crazy. And look, there's a blue outhouse you can build as well for the workmen to go poop in.
I'm actually wondering if it does come with this gigantic floor piece.
That would be kind of neat. It's the biggest set. It's the biggest set. I think its price point is above Optimus. I think. Either it's the same as or above Optimus.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't be surprised. If it doesn't, then whatever. But I wouldn't say it's impossible for it to come with that mat. Anyway, someone out there is astounded that we've actually discussed Creo Devastator for this long, I'm sure. But I had to raise awareness because I think it's kind of fantastic as a thing to look at and not spend money on. We also have an update going off that press release. Another statement from Hasbro regarding first edition Prime toys. Basically, Hasbro says, hey, sorry about that. There was miscommunication. So they basically said that this is a very special case in terms of the cancellations on Big Bad and Entertainment Earth, and specifically those two in this statement. They know that we want them. They are going to try to figure out a way to make them available in the U.S. somehow. Hopefully it will go better than when they tried to do that for Animated Blackout. I think that there's a better chance because this is not like posthumous of the cartoon. This is with the cartoon about to start its second season and I believe almost confirmed to have a third season. So it's more likely than Animated Blackout, but I'm glad that a statement happened. Like, it's good that they said something about it so that in part they can deflect some traffic come BotCon at their Q&A panel. Since I'm not in the U.S., I don't have much to say other than I really hope this means the ViaCon becomes more readily available. But, Aaron, how do you feel about this?
It's almost lines up with what we said on our last show of, you know, what got out there, and I'm surprised that, because, I mean, they were talking some of those toys, those individual toys up at BotCon, which makes me really think that there was some serious cross wires between marketing and you know, the actual designers and whatnot. I wonder if, I mean, already it wasn't really going to all the main retailers, so I wonder if that just kind of cut the legs out from it right off the bat. It's not like these can never come out because they have made the molds for them. They do exist. They have been made. The only thing that we saw that didn't ever really get seen was just a repaint, with the Terracon Cliff Jumper.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, at least Terracon Cliff Jumper is getting an Arms Micron release, so he's not going to be impossible to get because he does have a new head, which is a new piece of sculpting for those who collect that kind of thing.
But it's all stuff that's been made, has been made, so it's not just what we saw before were prototype one-off things. So it's not to say that it can't happen, it's just a matter of finding the right spot. And it may be something that's like a Wave 6 of RID once, you know, some other stuff's going along, you know, that they'll maybe slip some of these in onesie twosie here and there.
Yeah.
Especially not having a movie on the horizon. It's not like these have got to slip in before, you know, movie 4 or 5 or movie reboot 1 or the Beast Wars movie or whatever else is potentially on the horizon. You know, we've got a couple, 3 years before that happens, knock on wood. So there's plenty of time. Big cheesy smile. Come on, please.
So, I'm glad they said something. Omegas, are you hopeful that you'll be able to see some of this stuff yourself?
Dear Hasbro, remind me one day to show you the receipt for the toys I've been buying out of Canada lately. Thanks for taking your time to respond to this issue. Yeah, it is annoying when Hasbro just takes a little bit too long to respond to certain crises that come up like this.
Mm.
You know, last thing you want to do is keep collectors waiting and keep them in the dark while you're upset at them.
Yeah, well, it's not even like it's a crisis necessarily. It's just toys that didn't make it out there. I mean, it's the same thing with the Hydra Dive Bumblebee and Wingblade Prime and
some of
the other toys that just never got a full release. And, you know, you could almost look at it like the exclusive figures that Toys R Us got out of Animated, you know?
Yeah, I think it's not so much...
They never came out anywhere else because there's just not the market for it, and it's unfortunate, you know, that we can't go and get some of these toys sold to mainline retailers, you know, to convince Walmart or Target that, hey, you know what, this really deserves attention on your shelves, you know? They've got their own internal numbers, and apparently at this, you know, for first edition or for the beginning of Prime, at least, it didn't sell. And I almost wonder if they looked at previous numbers of just show-related things and said, hey, it's not going to sell, and that's why they went with Robots in Disguise as the tagline instead of Prime, because then that way they can put movie stuff, because they know movie stuff sells, so we say, hey, you know what, we're going to put some movie toys in with this line too, and that was enough to get retailers to say, okay, we'll buy that. But you've already had something grinding for 3-6 months, and so because of the way that a retailer wants to do something, you've got to change your course, and Hasbro has to sell toys to the retailers. Ultimately, we're buying them. But, you know, yeah, Hasbro could say, hey, we want to make something like this, you know, Hercules dude. You know, we think it'd sell really well. And if the retailers say, there's no way we're going to put out $100 toys that you have to buy $600 worth, then no way our consumers are going to do it. Hasbro could scream up and down saying, hey, this is the best, super most awesome thing ever.
Let me be the guy who says it before someone in the thread says it. I hope someone in the thread's going to say it. If Hasbro were making something like Hercules, it wouldn't cost $100 a figure.
Right. Yeah. Even at Voyager prices. You know, sized. Even at $20 a pop.
We want you to sell these $630 toys that all interact, and people will be upset about if they don't get all $630 toys.
Yeah.
And they're sold in cases of four, so we're not going to have them all to a case.
Yeah. You know, it'd be great. It would be. But it's, you know, something that I hope our listeners over our years of talking have learned that the business isn't always Hasbro telling retailers what to do. It's other people get their thumbs in things, and sometimes it makes it suck.
I think the reason why people are upset over this is because it's we got the mainline Prime toys coming out, and a lot are going, why didn't you just release the first edition molds in that line? They're already made. We already want them. Where are they? Without understanding, well, you know, we are working with a different size. We are working with a different budget. And we tried to get this stuff out, and the retailers just didn't want it.
Yeah, this was just, I think when people say, like, why wasn't this in RID? I think it's just a case of those assortments are worked out well in advance, and the timing just happened in a real unfortunate way. With the way the stuff came out, like it was meant to be first editions like the preview waves. Then we have the main line. Only first edition didn't happen like preview waves, and the plan was already in motion. And this is like millions of units moving from warehouse to warehouse to retailer to warehouse to retailer. It's a large machine to try to just reorient on a dime.
Yeah, it's unfortunate that sometimes you do have to step back and kind of think of the retailer's point of view when this kind of thing comes up. I mean, because you think of how a lot of the animated exclusives started to pile up, you know, Ratchet and Rodimus especially, and you start seeing
get Ironhides.
I can still get a Rodimus at my Toys R Us if I really wanted it. I've seen Toys R Us exclusives last there for like 3 years before they finally disappear from the shelves, and I'm convinced that a gnome took it in the middle of the night. Is it just that people that against buying it? You imagine yourself as Toys R Us in this scenario, where you've still got a lot of stores that have animated exclusives just lying around, and movie exclusives, you know, three packs of repaints that are lying around. Your Toys R Us and Hasbro's asking you, okay, here's a bunch of movie toys, and okay, they sell, okay, we'll lay them out. We also want you to take this line called Generations that we still have a few molds for. And, okay, if you're releasing, okay, we'll give him one peg. Okay, thank you.
You really think these are going to sell?
Yeah, yeah. Trust us. They'll sell. Oh, by the way, we also want you to take these deluxes, these two Voyagers, and this two pack of toys. Okay. Cut off point.
They're for the movie, right? No, they're actually for a new cartoon we're starting. Oh, so who's the audience? Well, the cartoon isn't aired yet. It's just finished. It's going to be airing soon. This is back when they'd be ordering these toys. It's going to be airing soon. Oh, well, we'll wait till after it's aired. Oh.
Yeah.
Well, the plan was we'd send you... Oh. Like, this is hypothetical, but I, you know, it's a possibility of paraphrasing of how it may have gone down. Yeah, I mean, hey, guess what? The retailer does have the power right now.
For sure.
Hasbro can't tell them to sell anything. The retailer can just say, all right, we're not going to sell it, and we're going to stop carrying your product. Suck it! Also, just a moment. Speaking of... Oh, by the way, before I say this, hey, Aaron.
Yeah?
You've got to promise me that you're not going to say anything about the thing I'm going to say.
Because I trust you, I give you my word that I will likely... hold back on whatever.
Well, you know, just the thing I heard that is in I linked it on Twitter. If you are a dealer at BotCon, you know, just be aware if you're talking about, you know, bringing things like Hercules, just you might want to check the fine print. Just look for the word confiscate. That's the keyword you're going to look for. Anyway, that's our talk on that subject.
Yeah.
All we have to say.
Yeah, look for the word confiscate. If you're a dealer, look for the word confiscate and be aware of what can lead to confiscation before you bring stuff to a show, because the show doesn't want to confiscate your stuff because it's work, and you don't want your stuff confiscated because that's stuff you paid money for. So be aware of agreements you're signing. We have a listener question. We have a listener question from Universe 265. Which is still from 2011. Think about that. Universe 265 asks, "Hi, Vangelis and the badass Transformers crew that you are with. I am Universe 265, a longtime listener with a listener question. Here it is. If you were to have an Autobot Guardian, who would it be and what vehicle mode would it have? Thanks for reading my question, and I hope you have a good day. Click." Omegas, who would you want as an Autobot Guardian, and what would it turn into?
You know what? I want Omega Supreme.
What would you turn into?
No, I want the Energon Omega Supreme.
I wanted you to say, I want Omega Supreme, and he turns into a golf cart.
No, I want this giant flying super train with this unexplainable crane arm sticking on the back, just so I can just sit there in the cockpit with my arms folded, just flying around in it.
You all king of the world and stuff?
Yeah.
I can dig it. Would you leave them yellow and blue?
You know what? Given that thought, let's go with Omega Sentinel instead.
Oh, small time.
Yellow, I'm going obscure here. Okay?
Yellow and blue is pretty badass color scheme. I'm not laughing because it's funny. I'm laughing because I was just thinking of something funny. I like that answer. Aaron, who would your Autobot Guardian be and what would it turn into?
This is kind of a goggish answer. Autobot Pretender Lander.
Uh-huh.
And wow.
Turns into like a dude mostly. Just go hang out, go on dates with women.
You want to ride his coattails?
Just a bro.
I want to be friends with Lander so I'm going to get laid.
You're asking for an Autobot wingman.
Yep.
Hey, there's no better wingman than Lander, all right? I would want my Autobot Guardian to be, one of the more benignly crazy ones. Blaze Master. I want to have a guy who just kind of likes to see bad guys get burned and scream a lot. I'd want him to... a helicopter would be cool. Whoever my Guardian is, I'd like him to turn into just like... I want him to turn into like a Segway or something that I can just like ride around on the sidewalk, or like a spider walker I could ride on the sidewalk just so people would have to get out of the way. That'd be kind of fun. And I could also like go buy groceries and put them in the back of my spider walker transformer buddy and then walk back to home, and it'd be fun. Oh, but Elsa has to fly because I deserve to fly.
Oh, yeah, why not?
I earned it. Damn it. Well, I hope that answered your listener question, Universe265. I deserve to fly. Our next listener question is from Tubzy. It says, hey everyone, I've been watching Prime and it seems like at this point we have about 16 main Transformers. Who would you want to see added to the character roster? Choose 5 of each faction. His choices would be Ultra Magnus, Hot Rod, Cosmo, Springer, Punch, Counterpunch, Six Shot, Scourge, Astro Train. That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. That's 8! Even if you say Punch, Counterpunch is 2, that's not 5 of each. You cheated. Cheated on your own listener question. I can't believe... Ah! Ah!
So do we want to combo this up and come up with 5 total for everybody? Or 10 altogether?
Let's just do 5 each, I think.
Okay.
Oh, geez, now I have to cut my list in half.
Well, if you have a full list, then...
Well, no, I'm saying as a threesome, come up with 10 total.
Oh.
Oh.
Just, like, brainstorm it here to come up with a good...
I'm gonna I don't know. I'll leave it to you guys. I'll cut in if I need to. I think I've answered a question like this before.
Yeah, well, didn't we do it for animated?
We did. That's true. Mm-hmm. Why don't we start with Omegas' list, if he has one ready?
Let's see. Well, I kind of agreed with Rodimus and Ultra Magnus Scourge.
Mm-hmm.
The suggestions from there went Grimlock, since we got him in the games.
Mm-hmm.
Cyclonus and Galvatron to go with Scourge, since we do have a Unicron.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted Prowl, because it's been a long time since we had like a classic-style Prowl.
I cannot disagree with that.
I wanted Mindwipe as like the ultimate creation of mech with Silas as the head.
Hmm.
I wanted Lockdown.
I would immediately agree with Lockdown, but then wonder if that would push him too far from how often he's come up already. Oh man, I'm biting my finger.
The last one I had on my list as a curveball was Alpha Trion.
That'd be cool. That'd be cool. I mean, because he would be the 13 Alpha Trion if he was in Prime.
Yeah, and I kind of wanted like this character who was there, you know, witnessing the Great Wars.
Yeah, with his magic quill and all that stuff. If I was going to be iffy on any of them, it would only be Lockdown and Mindwipe, I think, even though there's nothing I'm vehemently against about him. And Lockdown, it's only just like... For some reason, Lockdown would make me kind of go like, I'm so happy he's in this, but I'm so worried that this is him jumping the shark.
Yeah.
I don't know why I feel that way. Odd.
It's just a few characters out of animated that I really am happy to see transcend, and that was one of them when we got the Revenge of the Fallen mold.
Oh, for sure, for sure. You know what, though? I'd kind of like to see Prime do Blackout. That'd be kind of neat. Or I'd like to see Prime take movie-style Devastator and then make it work.
Prime is good. It's not a miracle worker.
Hey, yeah, movie-style Devastator. Like, give those individual robots, like, characters and just run with those designs and then primify them, like, smooth them out a little bit.
Well, I think what else could be done with Prime for Devastator was kind of the original concept of it's like any of these dudes can all start combining together and turn into some massive thing. So 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. That way you could also get some fun on the show of, oh yeah, we took care of him. Those three guys combined together. What, there's 8 of them together now? Oh.
It'd be so cool if like one of them like just like two, like one of them like a tall one, like two other ones just turn into arms for him, and that was the reveal at first, and then you see like, you know, as the near credits final scene, like 5 more just combining onto his unconscious body and he stands up again.
Yeah.
That'd be kind of neat. Yeah, I don't know. There's a lot of characters. I mean, there's a lot of characters that I would... I can't really think of any character I absolutely would not want to see in Prime.
Like, there's, right.
There's, I mean, there's nobody that would really be off-putting to me. And we know we're getting a few more, like Ironhide.
Yeah. And that's been the nice thing with the first season is they've done the same thing kind of that they did with Beast Wars, albeit for different reasons, of bringing in a character maybe at a time and letting that character do their thing and grow and not be like, oh, well, we got these 5 toys that are going on sale soon, you know, the way that G1 was. you know, oh, well, we're doing combiners now for three episodes because that's what's supposed to be hitting the shelves. So let's just combiners. Let's just animate them and then we'll make a script around it. You know, just go. So they're being smart about how they're bringing them in and they're making good, deep characters, or at least appearance of depth characters. So they could probably do well with about anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, nothing that I think is really, especially, I mean, they did Bulkhead pretty yeah. well. It seems like there's no precedent for not doing something. So, no, I think that list works. I'm fine with it. Anyway, I hope that answered your question somewhat, Tubbsy. That way we're not going to be here all night with us just saying, like, I think these five should, no, these five. Any other ones? I mean, Aaron, have you got any other ideas?
I was trying to think of potentially a flyer Autobot.
Oh, you know who would be cool in Prime? Because I think they would have been cool to expand on through Safeguard and animated would be the clones. Remember the Autobot and Decepticon clones?
Oh, yeah, like the
twins.
The twins, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, clones, I started thinking.
Well, weren't they called the clones? Wasn't that their...
No,
you're talking Jetfire, Jetstorm?
In G1, the G1 clones.
So the G1 clones are... Pounce and Wingspan and...
The Autobots no one can remember.
Sky yeah. Racer...
The funny thing being that I was thinking about it because the flying Autobot one is the one I'd like to see get redone sometime, and then by extension, the wheeled one.
Well, like the pound that all could be kind of with the Viacons.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have flying Viacons and we have car Viacons.
Do us up
so
some,
you could do
some
something similar. Yeah, some Autobot drones.
Autobot troop builders.
Yeah.
Figure out a way. I don't know.
These Viacons are already going to break me. Why not do it with the Autobots too?
Yeah, sure. I mean, yeah, Viacons.
Start selling plasma.
Small sideline, like, yes, we got our Japanese ones. We've got the Prid one coming up. We got the Cyberverse ones. That's just for the car Viacons.
They're going to do it for jets.
You could just have, like, Ultra Magnus come in as the war general, and he just has this platoon of Autobot clones.
Oh, that would be so cool.
A second job.
Auto Erraticons. Maybe that... It would be so freaky is if the Autobot faceless troopers are called the Erraticons. Like, that's the big twist. Ultra Magnus has gone kind of nuts, and he's all like, we're going to eradicate the Decepticons with my clone army. Execute Order 66, and they just shoot all the main characters. Star Wars. Anyway, I didn't just say Auto Erraticon. Sorry, I got a Skype message from podcast host and current listener Aaron. It's an Auto Erraticon.
Erraticon. Okay. I just...
Auto Erraticon. I will strangle you. Oh, that was a horrible joke to make. Anyway.
God, I am so glad I got left out of that.
Thank you for your listener question, Tubbsy. Now is the time for an intermission, and then we'll be back with some What Have We Got of the Week on and off of the topic. Get ready for it, because I'm going to drink this Coke. Here we go.
Here's a Nutter Butter Peanut Butter Sandwich Cookie Riddle. What has creamy peanut butter filling up its middle? And is peanut shaped and crunchy too?
It's another Nutter Butter Peanut Butter Sandwich Cookie.
Aw, you knew.
Here, Nutter Butter Man. Have another Nutter Butter Peanut Butter Sandwich Cookie.
We're both from Nabisco.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are back today here with you on WTF at TFW with What We Got This Week. We're going to start off with Transformers that we got this week, because we're a Transformers podcast, and we are all about not cheapening the hobby. So to kick things off, let's talk to you, Omegas Prime, about what Transformers you got this week.
So, my friend Drew works as a landscaper.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And one day, while working on the job, clearing out this little land that they're preparing to sell, so no ownership or anything, somewhere in the mud, he finds a Transformer toy.
Okay.
And he's confident that I don't have it, so he cleans it up as best he can, throws it in a box, and sends it off to me. And I had totally forgotten that he had even found this, because he found it like 3 months ago, only sent it to me this week.
Mm-hmm.
And it arrives yesterday, and it turns out to be the Ratchet Roleplay Blaster.
What?
Just randomly found in the mud. And for every one of you people out there who have ever told me that the modern Transformer toys are junk because they don't have diecast in them, this thing still works.
That's kind of awesome. Were the batteries like in it when you got it?
There's batteries in it and it works. I don't know if Drew actually put new batteries in it or anything like that.
No way. He must have sent it to you as is.
But, yeah, you can tell. This thing has been rained on. There's paint wear on it. The stickers on the sides are gone. You know, this
nice.
Thing has been beaten up. There's little mud caked in the crevices because my cleaning brush couldn't quite get in there well enough. But the light still works. The electronics still work. Still makes the sounds. The spring-loaded gimmicks still work.
I have a soft spot for that toy because that's from BotCon 07 when we got to tour Hasbro's offices. Tricky Disco got to play with that. There's photos, and we weren't supposed to take photos, but she was all like messing with the thing, and I was like, "What's that?" Memories.
Yeah, but we were the ones that were ruining photos through that whole tour, weren't we? Yeah, you can take pictures shortly after that. You're not supposed to take pictures here.
Oh, okay. It is surprisingly neat, though. The whole huge apparatus on the top sliding forward, the barrel flipping around from light to gun.
I love the gimmick on that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I also appreciate that it is both left and right-handed.
Mm-hmm.
That's actually quite thoughtful. I can actually dual-wield this with my Bumblebee blaster.
Yeah.
Be a complete dork. But
not to break it to you, but you are podcasting about robot toys on the internet. There's no question.
Nerd!
But I have female companionship, so obviously I'm not quite there yet.
Nerd! You also have a toy that was found in the mud while landscaping.
How many times have you licked it?
God. Only that once.
Oh, man.
And?
Twice. And? Okay, four times, okay?
Okay.
Leave me alone.
That's still
only
friggin'
got here yesterday.
That's friggin' awesome that the thing still works.
I know, I'm amazed.
Yeah, everyone who says modern Transformers toys are built like junk, suck it. That toy just got landscaped and dug up out of a friggin' pile, and the electronics have survived all that. I can't believe the electronics survived.
The electronics survive. The spring gimmicks survive. This thing is unkillable.
Man.
I really should, like, take it apart and clean out the internals a little bit better, but since it's such a motion-driven toy, I'm hesitant.
Just get repro labels to make you like a giant wall of stickers to put over top of everything.
There you go. Moving on from that, because there's no story to any of these. got in a box of someone's Revenge of the Fallen leftovers, which ended up being Swerve, Gears, and not one but two Bumblebees.
Mm-hmm.
Preview and canon. So, I've had all the other toys in their original color schemes. They're neat to have.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to argue with a red Corvette, especially. And it does spawn video ideas, thankfully. So, you know, it kind of turns the gears in my head a little bit, so to speak.
I'll turn the gears in your head.
No. No. I know what goes on in your head. Oh,
turning
some
gears.
Of it. So, yeah, I've spoken at length about those toys and other iterations of the molds. So, moving on, Since for some reason Toys R Us.com restocked them, I finally got a Power Core Combiner Sledge.
Oh, nice.
Simply to go with my Constructicon Power Cores.
He goes really well with a lot of things. I like Sledge.
Mm. He's, you know, considering he's a triple changer and has, you know, this crazy mini-con gimmick from the series, I'm surprised he's so simple.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also surprised the fact that you can actually give him the combined mode head and chest and he still looks fine in robot mode.
I actually really like, I think I talked about this way back when I was taking twit pics, but I love Sledge with the Destructicon limbs.
Mm-hmm. I've got to try that now.
I have a photo up somewhere. You have to alter the transformation a bit, but he becomes like a surprisingly posable Power Core Combiner with those things.
God. Now, the other part of that order was I think I got the very last first edition RC that that website sold.
Ooh, so are you caught up on the easy to get ones?
I'm caught up on the easy ones now.
Hooray.
And I will agree with every sentiment ever said on this podcast. She looks so much better in blue.
Mm-hmm.
Like, said female companion from earlier even saw that and said, okay, yeah, that looks badass.
RC generally looks pretty badass. I know that the new one looks more feminine, but I really think that the first edition one is something special. Honestly, I think everyone should just own both. I don't even know what the red one is like in hand, but don't ignore the FE.
Of course. No, she is really nice. The only problem of mine is that the blades, I don't know if a peg is too large or a socket is too small, but the blades do not attach onto mine.
Really?
Not that you'd want them on the arms anyway.
Yeah.
You're not missing much.
Does the side connection still work fine, though? The
side connections still work. They're on her legs right now.
That's the important one.
Yeah, so that much works out. So all that is pretty much old stuff that I've just been catching up on. It's been talked in length on this podcast. However, and I think me and Aaron overlap here, I did score the first wave of Prime.
Mm-hmm.
You mean like
we do overlap
Prid?
On that?
Yes. Prid. Yes. Prime. Prime RID. The
anyone
the one
who
that
calls it Pride is a small timer. All right, it's called Prid. The same.
Jeez. So yeah, where to start?
Oh, small to big.
You guys have the overlap. I'm just gonna sit over here and play my Glios.
Well, we got the deluxes. I mean, you carry on when we get to the bigger size classes.
Oh yes, yes.
The elephant in the room, is that Bumblebee?
Yeah, I didn't get that one, actually.
All right.
Okay, this is a good place for me to start.
I have something for next time.
Okay, this is a good place for me to start. He is so close. So close to being good. And it's all based on this automorph that he has. In concept, I like him because he does do a few things better than the first edition, I feel. Like, he's got both of the cannons, good. He's got a more intuitive transformation, so he's a little bit cleaner getting from one to the other. He has these clicky joints in his elbows that I actually quite like.
Mm-hmm.
But it's all centered around this automorph, and if he pulled this automorph off, it would be the best one they ever did. Because as you fold these arms back on him, you know, to normal from vehicle mode, you know, the head flips up from the hood all the way 90 degrees. The hood, the rest of the hood opens up and tilts. So you have that split bumper thing that the first edition can kind of do.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks really cool and it looks really dynamic. But it's one notch short. So the head doesn't go completely back to the torso. the shoulders don't square off at the on the chest. So his arms are all, so you raise his arms up and they're always bent a little bit inward as they go up. His head is always a little too high up. And it just, it comes so close. It comes so close. And if it could, if it had just that little bit more motion to just finish that off completely, he'd be great. Yeah, he'd be a fine alternative to the first edition.
I am actually very glad to hear that, because Griff popped up on Twitter and in the podcast threads to say that he thought the toy was pretty fine. Like, not, I don't think he meant like the best thing ever, but he didn't see what the huge, horrible issue was with it. And I've heard from, I heard the sentiment elsewhere that, like, at least one more time, that Prid Bumblebee is not a terrible toy, just not all that great. And I was already pretty much in on buying the Hotshot version. I'm very curious to get the toy in hand now, because it sounds like the kind of toy that I might appreciate, even if I don't think it's very well done.
Right.
It's from that description as well. It sounds like it tried to do something that is interesting enough to make me want to mess with it.
Yeah, well, yeah, even if it doesn't complete all the way, the Automorph alone just looks incredibly dynamic. It is very cool in action.
I actually had entirely missed that he had that Automorph, because I never watched any videos about him or read reviews, because I was like, I'm going to get the mold eventually. I just kind of held off. But that's interesting. I want to see how it happens. Would you say, though, that if someone is a discerning buyer, they might want to not bother, or do you think it's still worth looking at?
I would say look what your chances are of getting the normal, the first edition one. Like, you know, like even if you have to go for like the New York Comic Con version, which is still, you know, it's still basically the exact same toy.
Yeah.
Slight deco difference. If you're a little bit more purist about it, if you absolutely have to have this thing, with this complex transformation going, then yeah, the first edition is probably more worthwhile.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, this one does have advantages. I do like that he's not nearly as barrel-chested or wide-shouldered. So he doesn't look like a bodybuilder, but also anorexic.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, so he does do things that balance out better, but again, it's just that one click on the Automorph that doesn't quite go. It looks like something that is repairable, because there's molding inside of him where the engine block on his hood would actually fold in and go into this little crevice on the top of his torso. So it does look like it's meant to go all the way back. It just doesn't quite do it, and I'm wondering if Hotshot won't fix that.
Yeah, because if it is just like an assembly problem, that might be something that a remold like Hotshot could just come out of the factory built nicer. Yeah, I'm real curious now. I don't think I want to buy the Bumblebee version, though. I'm going to try to hold off, just so I'm not going down the path of having more than one Bumblebee toy so fast again, all of a sudden.
Right. I kind of want to buy him just so I could kind of defend him a little bit, and then I kind of, well, I don't get the full-on hate, which is mostly just because it's not the first edition toy.
Yeah.
But I do see where people would have issue.
Yeah, I think that, I don't think anyone was going to make the case that it's an excellent toy that should be bought. But I'm really hearing stuff that makes me see where people are coming from on the side of, this is not the worst toy that's ever been made.
Right. Okay, that said, with Aaron's permission, I'm going to go to Clipjumper.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Those arms.
Yeah.
Ooh. He's, again, one of those toys that does, he does good things that I like. I mean, I've taken a look at the first edition, I've taken a look at the show model, and there are a lot of elements that he gets better. Like, down in the legs especially, that look a lot closer to how he looks in the show.
Mm.
But he does this weird arm transformation that, it reminds me of Movie 1 Jazz, where just panels from vehicle mode just kind of fold up and form the shape of an arm. And it gives him, he has this really awkward elbow and hollow sides of his arms as a result.
For your record there, Evangelist, it does what the FE legs kind of do, where the whole sides fold in half.
Yeah.
In order to become the arms. And so he ends up with a really long, forearms.
It kind of looked that way from pictures. I don't think it looks bad, like, as someone who doesn't own it. I don't think it looks bad, but it the proportions just are not... Like, they looked, for some reason, better to me in photography, and that's really weird, because usually the proportions are the things that look worse in photography.
Right. My biggest issue with him comes from the fact that he fakes so much. And I felt that way even before I got my first edition one, because his hood and lights are totally faked. His real lights hang off the back of his biceps, or hang off of his triceps, rather. And then it's the back of the bicep. And his hood is all crumpled up. The whole top of his car crumples up to make his back. So it's faking. I can definitely understand and see the difference between the two of them. He's about a head shorter than the FE version. And his weird hammer add-on thing. Is it a hammer? Is it a weird gun?
It's hammer, mace, blocky axe thing.
Yeah.
Like as a pure accessory, I kind of don't mind it since, you know, it is a multi-use weapon.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's not exactly something he had in the show.
Right, and especially for a character that only had really one and up quarter appearances, I'd rather have something more gunnish than this weird. I mean, and it makes an all right pistol. But
that's the main thing that I was wondering about is, like, does it work in both weapon modes? Like, as I understand it doesn't really transform.
Yeah, does not transform at all. There's a peg up on the backside of the head of the hammer that you put it in the hand like that, and it looks like a weird, large pistol. Like, carbine type of thing.
Yeah.
I mean, it does work. It works better as a gun, I feel, because it's supposed to be this hammer when he's holding it the other way. It pretty much looks like he's, like, welded an engine block onto a pipe.
I kind of like that. All right, poor cliff jumper. spawns a long silence.
I don't really have much. I don't have that much problem with him, other than those hollow arms and the faking on the chest. I mean, like we've had plenty of toys that do that, but this does feel just particularly bad.
Mm.
Because once again, he does have an automorph. It's not intrusive.
Yeah.
It's just kind of like an epic head reveal thing.
I like those.
I wish I could say more, because as usual, all my best stuff is coming tomorrow. Not, of course, it doesn't make it in time for the podcast, so I can't compare him to a first edition clip jumper.
Yeah, mine came yesterday.
Oh, shut up.
Oh, look at you. Look at you. I had one for ages.
One day later, if this was recorded yet tomorrow, I would have been so... Yeah. Bitter. okay, how about ones with no comparisons?
Okay.
I'm thinking Soundwave?
Soundwave, all right. I have to go over there. I have so many toys.
Oh, shut up.
Quote, I have to go over there. I have so many toys. Aaron.
There he is. Okay, Soundwave.
Oh, wait. Mine's in vehicle mode right now, but thankfully intuitive transformation. This won't take long.
Oh, he's great. I love Soundwave. My biggest issue with him is because he has an auto transform flip out head. His head, while it's on a ball joint, doesn't really pose. It just goes down. And then also his, like, cheek flap things make it look like he has really, I mean, he already has no face, but it makes it look almost like his whole head is just vestigial.
Oh, there's a fix to his, like, if his head's getting like no neck syndrome. I saw something in PL's video about how you can get him to have more of a neck.
Yeah. Well, no, the issue is, my issue, and I may have to check out videos and feedback threads, is just that, I mean, because I can click it up and keep him having his head up. It's just he has these big cheek panels that look like they're like flaps on an airplane.
Mm.
And because it's all the same color plastic, it just make it, it hides the fact that he has a head, or that it's the definition that it could be. There's a part of me that wants to like pop the head off and cut back to a panel line almost with a knife to get a more defined noggin out of this guy.
Yeah,
I kind of agree with that. It's not much of a distraction, but you know, it is there.
I love the integration of Laserbeak.
Oh my god, yeah. Like,
'cause it just fits so perfectly. And without it there, it looks like he has kind of a gap, but he still has a passable, you know, a just fine robot mode.
Yeah, you attach Laserbeak on there, and you could honestly forget that he has anything attached. Because it just blends to his chest so well.
But I love his crazy, crazy wingspan in his alt mode.
Oh, yeah.
The official instructions actually show you folding in the wingtips that are his hands. But the way that the lining and colors are, it looks just fine having him out. It just looks like he has odd extensions at the end of his wings. And it ends up with a wingspan that is, I'd say, about a foot. And it's just crazy. I love, this is my favorite deluxe out of the first wave. See, by far. Well, the only, I won't say by far, but it's my favorite deluxe for sure.
Yeah, the only thing that really keeps him from being my favorite of the first wave is probably the lack of leg articulation. Because he really doesn't have knees to speak of.
They're chicken-kneed a little bit. I mean, you can still get a decent amount of poseability out of it. You just got to push the stuff inwards. I mean, I can get his knee bending 90 degrees backwards.
I can't because I don't have one.
Well, tough tacos.
Uh-huh. He's a really nice one, though. Like, really happy it came out. I need a Voyager.
Unfortunately, I don't think they'll end up doing a Voyager for him, but...
Well,
is the repaint with some other chest drone. Because you know you can also put Laserbeak on his back, or on his on the top of his alt mode, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's just wonderful.
And he perches on the hand.
Yeah.
I was unaware of all this because I don't have one.
Oh. Well, it'll be real easy to get because he's the one that's short-packed in this wave, too. Uh-oh, wait.
Ooh.
Guess what? I pre-ordered the Japanese one, so I'm going to get one. It's just going to cost lots of money and come with an awesome mini-con. That's my contribution to this discussion.
So do we know if those awesome mini-cons are going to be available individually as Gashapons or not? Is that what we're still trying to figure out?
Trying to figure out, if they're all going to Gashapon or not. But nonetheless, I am all set for a Soundwave eventually, so I am enjoying hearing how cool he is.
Yeah, how does this feel, Mr. Canadian First Edition?
Feels like it usually does, because aside from Prime First Edition, it's always felt this way. I love my $20 bulkhead, though.
Yeah. Day.
Did it cost you $20? Nope.
No.
No.
Yeah.
I promise I did better than most Americans.
Did any of you get it for $20? Nope. Oh. I feel really bad already having said all that. I'm sorry.
You know who's going to have an accident and fall down two flights of stairs at BotCon?
I was going to say some names, but I get in trouble.
No.
It starts with a V and ends with a us.
Oh, man. You're gonna just deal with vaginalists? You're sick of that guy?
Yeah.
And his cunning... Yeah.
Moving on to Wheeljack, I guess?
Sure.
This is my favorite from the first wave.
Understandably so. It's as I put it on Twitter, I think I called Soundwave a solid A and Wheeljack was like a B+.
Wheeljack for me is one of those toys where he looks so good in vehicle mode, I didn't want to transform him into robot mode at first. And then when I got him into robot mode, I felt the exact same way about changing him back. I freaking love... I love the angles on both of them. Both modes. I love the look. God, he's just sharp in every direction. I love the transformation on this. I mean, the legs just do these crazy weird motions.
I love the way that his legs flip around. The only issue I've had, his like knee fin things, are yours slightly bent to one side? Like, if you look at it straight on, does it follow that main crease up his leg, or does it fall to all of it to one side, to the outside?
No, but it... I don't know. To be honest, that almost seems like a bit of an optical illusion because of that crease.
Okay.
Because they both go toward the outside just a little bit, so...
Okay, see, mine sit totally outside of that line. What happens is, and this will be a preemptive warning for everybody... you have to follow kind of the right steps of putting things together. You want to put his doors down last because the first time I went by the instructions, I think probably like the second or third time, I did steps out of order a little bit. And what ended up happening was he's got these softer plastic fins that kind of stick out from his knee. And when I put the legs up into the body of the car, those got pushed and held down. So I have a little bit of a plastic stress mark up where the connection is, and I did a little bit of the warm water to try and smoosh it over a bit to get it to line up what looks like where it's supposed to be, and since then have been very careful as I transformed it, but that is a potential whoopsie-doo.
You're a potential whoopsie-doo.
Good comeback.
Thank you.
The only thing I really feel like the toy is missing is some kind of bicep rotation. Because when you've got a figure that wields swords, especially a dual sword type character,
yeah,
I really want as much dynamic poses out of those swords as I can, and he's missing just one point of articulation to make that happen.
Yeah, well, he does have the nice like double. Not quite ball joint, but between the ball joint and the swivel, you can get a decent amount of poses out of him.
Oh, yeah.
Because he has a swivel up right off of the ball joint for anybody that's not fiddled with one.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
You can definitely get like an arms... You can get an arms crossed pose or a swords crossed pose or like I'm going to get you sword pointing.
Oh, yeah. He's no slouch. I mean, yeah, he's got decent articulation for a deluxe. No arguing that. Now, there's just one or two poses with the swords that I can't quite get on him. So that's more or less just I'm spoiled by crazy expensive Japanese figures.
Yeah. The other issue that I kind of had is the fact that he has windshields kind of jutting out from the inside of his forearms.
See, that doesn't bug me too much because they don't seem to really quite get in the way of anything. Just because of the way his arms are slanted, they don't really interfere with them or hit anything.
Yeah. I just wish that there was a way to, like, swivel or collapse that back down, because he already has a bunch of back-of-the-arm kibble anyway that's the side of the doors. I wish that in that panel maybe there was a way to slide it back, but that's, like, nitpicky on the already good character. It's like, well, it'd be up into the A's if it had that. That I don't know what else there is to say. I had a little bit of overpaint on mine, on a couple of the on the each of the doors, there was a blotch of red in the middle of the door, but that was taken care of with a thumbnail.
High-tech customization.
Yeah.
I have nothing to add.
Really?
No,
you hadn't been letting us in on that this whole time?
Nope. I got nothing to add. Although I'm glad to hear he's good, because everything I saw of his transformation in videos looked like it was a super cool transformation.
Oh, it is.
It is. It's like, it very fun.
It's like, it makes me wonder if he even had to cheat on his windshield transformation, because his fake windshield is being hidden by his actual windshield.
Yeah. Well, that's just to make that condense down a bit more. If he tried to have the real windshield there, he'd have a belly. Whereas, like this, he's got abs.
I no longer know what you're talking about.
So,
never seen abs before.
Yeah. Wow.
That's it for my Transformers. I believe I tag you in at this point.
All right. So, continuing with RID, I also picked up Optimus Prime and Megatron in the Voyager sizes.
I want to know about Prid Voyager Optimus Prime and if he really is such a horrible thing that people need to get the first edition.
He's not horrible. The biggest issue that I have is it took a long time for me to find the right way that I have to kind of gaff the transformation of his gun, of his light-up weapon, to keep it a gun. He has a couple of odd angles on the back of it, so you have to find the right angle of his arm, plug the gun in the top of the clear forearm part, and then hook a bit underneath his shoulder greebles, his shoulder bits. The biggest issues that I have with him as a toy is the fact that his shoulder ball joints are so tight that if you go to move his arm up, instead of moving the arm, it wants to move the whole upper body bicep, or the whole upper body pecs area, since his windows, he doesn't fake his windows for his transformation, which I like that over the first edition versions, where his windows are really his windows. But because of the way that all that transformation works, the forces holding that piece together are a lot weaker than the friction in those shoulder ball joints. So if you go to move either one of the arms forward without having a hold of the middle of the chest, the whole thing pops up. So he does like a chest bump motion instead of like, I'm going to move my arm up.
Oh.
I thought that the translucent blue plastic on the forearms was going to be a big issue for me. It's not really. But it's a good dynamic transformation. Even his backpack kibble lines up pretty well. It's not a bad toy. I would definitely not say, hey, go crazy talking to Canadians trying to get a version because it's so much better or so much worse. It's definitely different. But for the $25 this cost me versus the a lot more expensive that the Canadian ones cost me. Thanks again, Ultra Primal. The RID Prime is very, very good. I don't want to say very, very good, but is
very okay.
Is definitely acceptable, unless you have serious issues with some individual aspect of it. Has the same Optimus Prime alt mode. He's fully posable bicep swivel, solid ball joint. You could probably put almost any amount of weight that you wanted to, as long as it doesn't knock the balance off of him, and that arm is going to stay in place. It's that tight of a shoulder. I don't know. I've only had a limited amount of time due to work issues to really mess with them to talk too much specifics about transformations or anything. It's not a difficult transformation. I think like all of these Voyagers, it has a couple of steps that if you don't do them precisely right, you end up with the issue of this chunk of matter has to go through that chunk of matter somehow. And, oh, wait a second, I'll back up two steps, and then, oh, you're supposed to swivel this here, not swivel it there. Oh, okay. But that's the first world problems of these more complex Transformers. Any questions about that?
You answered a lot of mine. I was just curious about plastic tolerances and how we felt in comparison to the first edition.
Yeah.
It's good to hear that there are solid joints on them.
The biggest thing with his weapons that I do like better about the first edition is they're things that he's holding in his hand, whereas the first edition toys have the shroud that goes around the hand to make it look like it's something that's a part of him, not something that he's holding on to.
Mm.
But and a lot of the same goes for Megatron on that aspect.
Is that a segue I detect?
Yes, that is. Megatron has it's almost like the issue with the mech-tech weapons out of the deluxes. You know, to use Megatron's blade and use the light effects that's there, you have to hold down the big piece of a switch to have this weird flip-out LED light kick in. But you let go of it, boop, and it falls back, and it says fusion cannon.
I heard
fusion cannon's a normal thing, but
I heard Piol came up with the way. If he didn't come up with, at least he displayed a way to lock the sword out. But I don't recall because I don't have the toy, so I didn't really look.
Yeah, I mean, there's a spot that you could potentially jam something. I mean, if you want to get real rough with it,
I get there around my toys. Ah!
Or even if you kept, I think he had like three of the rubber bands, those clear rubber bands on him. Oh, it would be very easy to rig something like that into place. But Megatron is the one more than Prime that had the issue of you have to do certain things in a certain order. His shoulder spiky armor thing flip. You have to like move it three times through the course of the transformation to get it into its final spot. Good, impressive, scary looking Megatron as this design is. The biggest issue that I have with him is all of his gray plastic has lines in it that make it look like it's something that came off of a rapid prototyper that came out like it came out of Shapeways.
I heard about that from Simon Solfury. He said that there was a weird texture to the plastic.
Yeah, you might be able to hear.
That sounds like you're rubbing your finger on the microphone.
Yeah, that's about. I mean, that might be a little bit better. Where there's every piece of gray has these parallel lines that all line up, where everybody else is smooth, but he, I don't know if it's a method, if it's an attempt to break up our Games Workshop gray plastic syndrome if it looks bland. Because it does kind of diffuse the light that hits it, but at the same time, as somebody that knows a little bit of something, or would like to think he knows a little bit of something about manufacturing processes, it looks like it's like, well, crap, send this to the prototyper, tell it to print, cast it, get it made. Versus taking something and smoothing out those issues, because it's... the parts that are purple don't seem to have the same issue. The parts that are clear are all smooth. So I don't know. I would bet it is more of a choice to do that, to give it a texture rather than a mistake. But it just looks slightly weird to me. His chest does a really neat fold-up trick around his Decepticon emblem as well, where when he's kind of all flattened out for his alt mode, his Decepticon emblem drops away inside, but when you bring all the chest pieces together, it frames it really well.
I saw that in...
That's a definite cool pro.
I saw that in a fairly awesome video that my friend Andy CCTFW, Cobra Commander TFW, did about that figure. He had a cool showcase of the transformation, and I kind of liked how a lot of those pieces came together.
Yeah. But it definitely does have... You'll have a couple points in your transformation. You're like, where's the... This has got to go over that, but that's got to go under this, but they're on the wrong side. Oh, noes.
Nothing works anymore.
Yeah. 4 or 5 times through the transformation, you do get the hang of it. I also do like the spare little blade thing that I have no idea really why it's there.
Because they have plastic.
You can give him like a hand blade that he holds but also pegs into his wrist. It's a good buy. It's really easy to make this your definitive Megatron because it lines up size-wise with Prime, and it's really going to be the only thing available. So,
I am really curious if the Takara Tomy one is going to go all silver paint crazy.
Yeah, it would be real easy to go silver paint crazy and make it look super crazy.
Yeah.
I'd almost hope for not a shiny silver paint crazy, but just kind of like the example I have sitting right there, the alternative Prime gray, that with that just that little bit of flake in it, not trying to go like mirror coat sheen metallic.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, so that's the Voyagers. Also, I picked up a couple of Cyberverse dudes.
I want to hear that they're good.
They are not bad.
Right.
I picked up Ratchet and the Viacon. These are the Legion size, not the Commander size. I don't know if this is doing the Commander. So these are the smaller, like, Hot Wheels sized dudes.
What we know as a Legend.
Yeah.
Most of the time.
Yeah, they were $4.99 each. And it is acceptable Viacon and a mostly acceptable Ratchet. Just because I bought this, then came home and saw the pictures of the deluxe Ratchet and went, aww. But then again, these are $5 toys.
Darn it, the Legend is not as good as the deluxe.
How dare they? No. How dare they?
Ruin forever.
Okay. They've got... The Viacon comes with a gun with a bayonet mounted kind of beside it in purple plastic, and then Ratchet has one of his arm blade scalpel things that you flip it around the other way, and it's kind of a gun-ish thing. So it's cool. They're like a soft plastic, and they have points on them that you can plug that are like holes that are the size of their handles. So it looks like if you go crazy with your Viacon... troop building, which I may just do since it's only $5, you could end up with one dude with a massive, like, 8-story gun, knife, blade thing. And that seems like the right kind of crazy for troop building.
I am entirely okay with a giant 8-story knife blade.
Just the fact that they are putting in incentive to troop build is kind of, you know, Hasbro baiting.
Yeah. Well, and the thing is, it's also the price point that's the easiest to do that on. So,
right.
You know, I definitely see myself maybe buying any Viacon I ever see in the Cyberverse.
Hey, guess what? That happened to me with the Japanese first edition. So I'm sure that'll happen to me with the Cyberverse.
So to air quotes, wrap out my Prime first edition talk, I did get... everything that had been released in the North American area, again, thanks to Ultra Primal, got the Entertainment 2-pack, which is the same Prime as the San Diego Comic-Con Prime, short some paint apps.
No.
Plus some paint apps.
Paint apps. That's the best part.
along with the 3 kids, who I was actually trying to do the size comparison with. So I finally have a Miko sitting there looking all sassy, like Miko does.
Hooray!
So that also came with Megatron, who had a transformation that's very similar to the Voyager, which makes sense because of the way that he transforms, there's not that many different ways that you could do that.
I also think that Deluxe Megatron is a kind of fantastic toy that not enough people are going to ever own.
Yeah. I would be disappointed if we don't at some point see an RID version of him, because he's coming out as a full-on deluxe in Japan, right?
He came out as a full-on deluxe.
Yeah. So that's, if you are happy with your Comic-Con Prime, that might be an alternate way to get this Megatron without getting another Prime.
Yeah, do try to get a hold of, at least mess with somebody's deluxe Megatron, because that is a very well-done Megatron toy, I think.
Yeah. Like I said before, I got Cliffjumper. I definitely like the first edition Cliffjumper better than the RID Cliffjumper, but not enough that I'd say you got to get it, the first edition. If you have the option to get it and are willing to pay the prices that it's going for, then go for it. But, you know, seeing some of the crazy prices that have been on eBay, I think I saw one at one point that was like $80.
That toy is never worth $80.
Not worth $80. No. I ended up paying basically Canadian retail plus shipping, which kind of hurt. And then I saw it was right after I got these guys in that I saw that Hasbro was like, yeah, it's not going to happen. And I felt better. And then I saw those prices go crazy. But I definitely do like him better because his transformation is, for the vast majority, true. His headlights that end up on his chest are his headlights. The bumper in between fakes a bit, and there's fake grill underneath, but that is, in my mind, a whole lot more forgivable than if you flip him over, there's like half a car hiding underneath this car.
Yeah.
That shouldn't be there.
First edition Cliffjumper has a backpack, but it's a backpack made of bits that are okay to be there, I think.
Yeah. The only issue I've had with him is how does his chest... Does his chest lift and separate just a touch?
It's on a slider. I tried to jar it loose like I did with first edition Bumblebee. Didn't really work. They kind of split. They kind of fold back. And then whatever you do, you jam the waist piece up between the window to hold it apart.
Yeah, because the left side one on mine just does not want to do anything.
Mm. I had that with one side on mine.
I'm afraid to really push at it because I know it's clear plastic and it's a roof and it's, you know, there's enough ands there that I'm all right with him having a little seam in the middle instead of a bigger seam because if I try and force it too much, I'm afraid that he won't have like a driver's side roof or windshield.
You're going to want to be careful. Buddy Alex Jez Santi on Twitter, not the same part, but you know how his shoulders are kind of pointy?
Mm-hmm.
Jez Santi had the shoulders chip off. A drop or something. Like this, the clear plastic up there cannot take a direct impact, and now his Cliffjumper apparently has an inadvertent sunroof.
Sometimes you got to roll like that. But I definitely do like the way that, you know, the sides of the car that are two different parts coming from two different places fold together very well to become his arms, and the way that his flip out forearm guns work, and the way that the back of the car folds up. It's really sad that he's not getting out to mass market retail.
Yeah.
But like I said, for the prices, especially now that he's going for in comparison to being able to go to any Toys R Us, Walmart, Target, Big Lots, probably not Big Lots quite yet, but any normal retailer and get a 80% version of it for $13, it's hard to say get this over the $13 one.
I'll do look into the Japanese one, though, because the Japanese one's around $30. That's pretty much... actually a little bit less than what you'd pay getting it shipped from Canada sometimes, depending on what shipping is used. So,
plus if there are other things that you're looking at, like a Viacon or something else from some other fandom that you can get from one store, that's probably going to help you with your shipping psychology.
Exactly. I like how you use the word psychology, because that's what it is.
Because I may have a Viacon on the way that I paid quite a bit for, just outright because it was a place that had it available and peer pressure got to me. But I'm happy with the price that I'm paying for it. I would have liked that there have been two or three available to store to, like I said, help with that psychology. So it goes from being $12 or $20 of shipping down to, well, it's like $10 each, so it's not as bad, right?
course not. It's so much better.
So then on the Voyager front, I did get Voyager Prime and Bulkhead. And I have to say, of all the first edition stuff, I think Bulkhead is eking ahead.
He's my favorite first edition toy. Only because both his modes are solid and he mass shifts, which is just slightly better than Starscream and Cliffjumper, because those two are good toys. But both Starscream and Cliffjumper have small, incredibly nitpicky issues. Cliffjumper has his weird shoulder posability. Starscream's jet mode is great, but still has a bit of a weird undercarriage. Bulkhead just pulls off everything so well.
Yes, my issue with Bulkhead is the fact that he has a hole in the center front of his chest.
Yeah.
And that's it. Everything else, he has parts that slide around each other so well and fill in so much, and you wouldn't realize it, but half of his body is void. But there's shell stuff that goes all the way around it, so unless you're looking at him, if you're holding him by his feet and looking up into his back, you can't tell that he's half air, and it's amazing. I mean, down to the fact that he has those compressy panels on the back of his arms that let them poof out another quarter inch, but it adds so much appearance to his forearms that just bulks him out.
You're hilarious.
Just turns out great. I don't know what to say other than, dude, go for when you're getting your Japanese first edition Cliffjumper, put Bulkhead in on the order too. I see it costs so much. Just do it. Just trust me.
Yeah, get that Bulkhead. Whatever you got to do to get that Bulkhead, don't pay like $80 for him either, but get that Bulkhead somehow.
Yeah, paying. The only issue I'd have with that is I don't know how well the metallic look would turn out on him.
I've heard it looks nice, but it also looks wrong.
Yeah, it's Bulkhead. Yeah,
I can definitely understand that, because it's Bulkhead. You know, you look at animated Bulkhead, and he wasn't shiny. It was this. I've got my red Bulkhead in here. I don't have a green Bulkhead in here to do a side-by-side color comparison, but he's got to be close.
They did the same thing in animated for the Japanese release. And they made him really shiny.
Yeah,
and
they did.
It just looked wrong.
Yeah. But it's definitely good. He's got kind of flip around hands, so even without his wrecking ball on his hand, it looks like his hand is a diminutive blaster. Nothing huge and impressive, but you can still pretend that he's got he's two-handing his internal guns. Decent light piping, I guess, if you get it the right angle. My computer monitor, I guess, is doing a better job of light piping than the light overhead is. So disregard the decent light piping. He's got kind of limited light piping. Where was I? So I've got Prime left out of Voyager. And he feels like he's just an upscaled deluxe first edition Prime.
Why you gotta hate? I wish I had better things to say about first edition Prime, but mine had some real wonky plastic tolerances that diminished the experience. I do love his transformation though. I think that his upper, like his torso, like the bust of him, like the torso and the head between paint and sculpt look kind of fantastic.
Yeah, it does look very good. But he definitely does have the syndrome of you have to do his transformation steps in the precise order to get some of those flippy bits around. And then I had a real issue getting everything lined up at the end to get his front end pushed together between his couple different shoulder parts and where a hinge is, and all of it kind of had to collapse down just perfectly to go where it should go.
Yeah.
I think that's the biggest detractor that I had on that, to be like, this is just like the friggin' deluxe almost. Why'd I shell out for this when I, you know? But Ultra Primal shipped these toys and, you know, did the awesome broness and shipped these toys So they were in transit from Canada, and then I found the RID stuff here. So it was kind of a, I owned one before I got a hold of the other, and I don't know how much that's maybe because the RID Prime does transform smoother than the first edition Prime does.
Yeah.
But the first edition Prime does look better, but he's faking the chest, but it definitely is a back and forth. The RID Prime is just fine if I didn't have the option for the first edition. I did kind of say that before, didn't I? What else do I have out of all of that stuff? I haven't watched the DVD yet out of the Entertainment 2-pack.
I haven't either, and I've had it for ages now.
But I do have the Prime Blu-rays on the way, so that'll be better.
I got those pre-ordered, too.
So that's it for my first party stuff.
Yeah.
unfortunately, you and Geronimus passed on a certain little bug.
And I have parts of that to talk about today, too.
That's big and green. Yeah. And purple.
So you got what, half of them?
Half of them, yeah. In one order, along with a king bat, because I didn't have that perfect effect mold.
What do you think of king bat?
King bat would be all right, except for I had a lot of issues with things that I think that were supposed to be glued, and either the glue dried out or wasn't properly applied.
Oh, king bat.
So you try and take him apart, and he just kind of falls into a pile of pieces.
That's kind of how he transforms mostly, yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, but like pieces that should stay together come apart. That
he just fully, he just committed. He went full parts form.
So he has further stacked on my city commander. I think the only one of those that isn't on him in one way or another is Rosanna, because she doesn't need to deal with that. But. He's further kitted out now. He has his giant trident in one hand and a shadow operations dude in the other hand with all of everything else. He's got the sun and the moon on the backs of his arms as giant death blade things. I'm thinking about turning him into jetpack so that he can get other things on the back of his arms, but it makes for a decent little impressive display piece thing. I don't know how much of an active toy it does well, but so for the $300 or so,
I'm holding a giant green and purple robot in my hands. Let's talk about this.
Yeah. So Geronimus came by the house and he tweeted a picture taunting me as he was doing it of Hercules buckled in his front passenger seat.
He brought it to your house
for the drive over, and he brought it to the house, and I looked at it and I just went, "You mother." Because as soon as I saw it, I'm like, yeah, I'm going to have to buy that now. Went through Robot Kingdom, so I actually didn't pay $100 a piece, paid decently less. But I got X-Graver, Structor, and Dr. Crank, which were the three that they had in stock. I've since multiple times been pointed at the other three where they're in stock, other places that are cheap, but I'm out of money.
I just want to say, damn it, because I already talked about Dr. Crank last week, which means that I can't just cut in on any of yours.
For the most part, I don't have a whole lot to say that's not been said.
Well, they're good.
They're good Voyager-sized dudes. Each of them has a little bit of limitation, but when you look at the fact that it's going to combine all together to make this big bad mofo, you know, it's anything that's more than two modes, anything that's more than one mode has, you know, there's got to be some trade-off. And when you do something that becomes a limb or becomes a third alt mode, you know, sometimes those trade-offs grow a little bit. But there's not a ton of that in these three.
You see the $100?
Yes, I do.
All right, that's the main question.
As a third-party product, yes, I do. If it was just the two modes, not the lesser price that I paid. But having, you know, I have a hand, I have an upper torso, and I have a leg, and I can see that those are definitely worth it. The issue I had with my X-Graver had backwards fingers.
Uh-oh. Oh, yeah, I remember that.
But I contacted Robot Kingdom and got a very prompt reply from the other side of the earth saying, hey, we don't stock that part, we'll have to get it you know, we'll have to get a specific replacement, but we'll have it out to you. Unfortunately, it's Chinese New Year, so it might take a little bit. I'm like, well, you know, just as long as I get it, because I don't have the other parts to make it a full body. So, yeah, his fingers, instead of curling inwards, curl outwards.
I can't watch that happen to people. That actually makes me feel nauseous.
And I was sitting there looking like, can I just knock this pin out? But I don't have a pin vise or any of that stuff. Everybody on Twitter was like, no, you just get a hammer and a nail. And I'm like, yeah.
I've never been able to make that work. I have tried that.
I've tried that before with
a
pin.
I've gotten that to work.
I can't.
Yeah, I haven't. I've, what was it? It was the, I had one that was, it's going to drive me nuts now. The red motorcycle from Cybertron.
Oh, yeah, Ransack.
Ransack.
Swapping the wheel, right?
I had a spare one of those, and I wanted to swap the wheel, and I was very careful. I got a very small nail and a hammer, and it was a flat-tipped nail, and I made sure everything was good, and I went tap, tap, crunch, and just, like, blew half of the thing apart.
You crazist handed that.
Yeah, I might as well have gone Hulk smash or crazist smash.
Yeah.
And so since then, I've just been wary of, I knew I was knocking it to knock the knurled side out, so I wasn't going to drag that all the way through. I've seen the things, and I don't know if I just had bad luck or meat fists or what was going on. But I just sent them off an email with a picture in it, and they got back to me real quick. So Robot Kingdom gets props for that.
Newest TFW sponsor as well.
Yes, yes. Welcome to the TFW family of giving us money. I mean, we don't get money for that. Then
we don't get money for anything.
Yeah,
this podcast gives us nothing but but heartache and
grief
and whores. So many, huh?
Huh?
What?
So my issue with X-Graver, makes a great arm. Dr. Crank, I really wish he would have came with cord.
Yeah, there's a video on how to do that.
All the parts are there, and I've seen video on how to do that. And that was, Gerodimus had it hooked up with, I think it was just sewing thread.
Oh, he did it?
Yeah.
How much work was it? Was it a lot of work?
It looked like it wasn't a whole lot of work.
I get some sewing thread.
It was a thicker thread, and he just tied a knot on one end.
Can we make that a TFCon thing? Can we have a TFCon class on how to thread your Dr. Crank?
Sure. Sure. We probably figure it out real easy.
Yeah. Let's make it a TFCon get-together thing. We'll get a table outside in the lobby. We'll all just sit there with our Dr. Just, you don't have to bring the whole Dr. Crank. Just bring the crane arm.
Yeah.
And then we'll just sit there and thread our Dr. Cranks.
But, so he had that done up well. I think my biggest issue with him is the weirdness that happens at waist level due to the fact that he's hiding a face.
Yeah, and also, do you find that, I don't know if you've tried to pull them out, but his combiner pegs are friggin' tight.
Yeah.
Like, I need to use a small screwdriver to get some of them out.
That's what I did. I already had my knife out because I was using that to open packages, so just use the very tip of the knife to flick the edge out so I could get a nail in there to, a fingernail in there to get it pulled out to flip around.
I dig why they're that tight, but man, they're tight.
Yeah, I'd rather them be tighter than looser, because if they were looser, then they'd be flopping around all the time. But and that leaves Structor out as, you know what, it's an excavator.
I love Structor. His robot mode is just so picture perfect.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, guess what? It's Structor.
I guess it's odd for not having issues. So it in the realm of the weird issues with my backwards hand and why didn't it come with cable? The other one's like, yeah, Ben, that's a Structor. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But that is it for my transforming robot toys.
Oh, well, let me just open up mine by doing this. Okay. And a few more over here. Well, these. Ah, yeah. Oh, there's a good one here. Oh, and then over here, we got this. Oh, yeah. And then one of those.
Work that one a little bit more. Yeah, that's just right.
So yeah, we'll talk about that. We'll talk about that later. Because first, I want to talk about the fact that I bought a Dark of the Moon toy again.
What?
Yeah. Yeah.
Dude, what the times?
Hey, guess what? So last week, I was after just to reiterate last week's story quickly, I found the final wave of Dark of the Moon deluxes. They had tons of armored top spins, tons of air raids, one specialist ratchet, and that was it. So I was a little bit. I also threw out board member Spliff Dizzle offered to sell me the one I couldn't find, but I actually found the one I couldn't find right afterwards because I went to another Toys R Us. That Toys R Us, which had no Dotem Deluxes, suddenly restocked the Air Raid wave. By the way, Mudflap is in the final wave. I had no idea. And so I went digging. 8 pegs full of Dark of the Moon Deluxes. It wasn't till the 7th peg of digging, which I almost didn't dig through, that I found a single Dark Steel.
Huh.
I don't understand why in Toronto, wherever I go, Dark Steel is the one that's hard to find. But there you go.
I don't think he was short packed.
And
there's
more air raids than any other toy on the shelf. It's like people are actually buying the repaints because that's the only way there are that many air raids on the shelf.
Ah, we don't want these new toys. We want to redo the other ones.
So let me just throw this in. Okay.
I will be fair. Those are two very cool repaints. Like even the armor top spin.
Armor top spin. I am going to buy someday. I just don't want to pay more than $10 for them. But I love his mold, and I think he looks fine. But Dark Steel, everyone should buy Dark Steel. I'm just going to say that right now. First up, most of you guys, you never bought Deluxe Dark of the Moon Sideswipe, so it'll be a new toy for you. Dark Steel is a lot better built than my Sideswipe, but he is still really rickety in vehicle mode. Because the tabs that are supposed to hold him together and the pegs, they are all just too thin. There's no grip. But his vehicle mode does hold together better than my Sideswipe, and it has way cooler paint job tampos because it has paint on it. And it has this really cool, it's all cast in this really cool, like really, really, really dark brown plastic that looks almost black, and then has this like metallic turquoise, like tribal print and whatnot all over it, like viney stuff. But it's his robot mode that is amazing. His robot mode is actually primarily, it's Quick Strike from Beast Wars, right down to that tan yellow color. And he's molded in that tan yellow color, and all the parts molded in that color, they're all parts that are almost entirely invisible in vehicle mode. So he looks like he changes colors when he transforms. His clear plastic is shiny, shiny candy red. If I had one problem, it's that his head is basically that dark brown. And that just doesn't look quite right. I was hoping his head would be brighter. His head sculpt, though, is awesome. It is Quick Strike. It is movie Quick Strike. Like, right, it has the Cobra hood, which is done in a metallic turquoise. He's got, like, fangs, which are painted in gold. That's a really nice paint app they added. If anything, his head is really small, and it doesn't quite sit on the ball joint right. So on mine, it's kind of floppy. I might need to add a little bit of floor polish just to make it smoother to move around. But this is the best Beast Wars homage toy I have ever seen because it's not trying to kludge out a beast mode. It's just taking a Beast Wars character and like picture perfectly applying him onto a toy with a matching head. It's amazing the effect this toy has in robot mode. It's the deluxe Sideswipe mold. So it's an okay figure. He's got some limitations here and there. It works. Dark of the Moon Dark Steel is something that I think everyone who is just into Transformers and thinks that Beast Wars is okay, you should pick this up. If anything, pick it up, just put it in robot mode and never touch it again. And you'll be getting the full effect from this guy. Because I like his vehicle mode, and I like transforming him. But his robot mode is just, like, striking. It's quick striking, if you will. he also comes with the best deluxe mech tech weapon for locking together because it's Star Screams, which means it actually locks together. And I believe, I want to say that the solid part is new, but I'm not sure. Like the part that actually locks the weapon together, that additional blade you plug into it. It's painted, no. It's got it like a double fang look to it. I think what helps is they painted the blades red.
No, those are both from Star Scream.
Oh, okay. It just looks different to me.
Yeah, it's popped now, I think.
Yeah. The only problem is he just can't hold this weapon very well. The mold wasn't designed to hold these weapons. It's hard to get the pegs into his hands entirely. And when you combine them into the giant blade thing, there is nowhere to put it on him. He can't hold it right. His alt mode looks crazy with this enormous stick with a blade on the end hanging off of it. The separated weapons actually look pretty good on the alt mode because you can plug them into the sides with those little spring load mech tech doors.
Right.
So it's okay, but just the figure on his own, I love it. He goes from being this super dark brown with metallic turquoise car with like red windshields into this robot that like he's got gold paint apps, he's got metallic turquoise paint apps, he's dark brown and he's like yellow sand tan. It's really well done. Dark Steel is really worth. I think I hope a lot of people aren't passing on Dark Steel just because they're like movie toys. Like Dark Steel is one of the biggest Beast Wars love letters I've ever seen. Right, it's just capped off perfectly by literally having a customized head designed for this character. It's fantastic. When you see his chest, like his chest is what makes this toy. Because it has like that gold app on it that just brings the color scheme out of nowhere. Fantastic. I really like Dark Steel for all the flaws the mold may have. The way this toy is executed makes it worth your money, in my opinion. Are you both going to go out and get a Dark Steel?
I already have one.
I hate you.
Presuming one doesn't magically show up in my mailbox? Sure.
Yeah, get a Dark Steel. Listeners, listen. I know you skipped all of Dark of the Moon. You're the one out there. That's fine. But get Dark Steel. Just pretend he's a Beast Wars toy. All right? Just get him. Speaking of which, Hercules. Hercules time. Hercules time.
Hercules. Hercules. Hercules.
Hercules time. Ooh. Oh, yeah. Oh, wait. Get that out of the way. Oh, yeah. Oh. Ooh. So I got the last two pieces of my Hercules, Neckbreaker and Heavy Labor, which are, by the way, two toys you really should just get at the same time. For those wondering about the Heavy Labor hip fix that comes with Neckbreaker, number one, it's the only fix for any of these guys that I know of to have a spot molded for it in the tray of the packaging.
Oh, really?
Yeah. There is actually a spot in the tray for the hips. They come in a little bag. Be careful taking the bag out because the little gray screw or little green screw covers are separate and just floating around in the bag. And I almost misplaced them. Yeah. Now you have to remove a lot of screws to do this hip replacement, but it's also incredibly easy to do. It just takes a while because you have to unscrew a bunch of stuff. The worrisome looking part is that you have to unscrew the legs and expose the spring. The upside is the assembly holds itself together really well just with friction. And if you don't even have to be that careful. Just don't be an idiot, and the spring won't go flying out or anything. Like it was a lot more gentle than I thought it was going to be. So I put in the. I opened up Heavy Labor and didn't do a single thing with him, except swap his hips. That's the very first thing I did with the Neckbreaker hips. As was discovered by many people, the only difference between those hips is that the ones that come with Neckbreaker have a whole bunch of grease added to them. Which is that was done on Fortress Maximus in G1. That's how his hips worked. It's also how the Armada Unicron mold does its hip ratchets. Just lots of grease to make them...
It's just they didn't properly lubricate it to begin with, maybe?
The original Heavy Labor had no lubrication in there whatsoever.
Yeah.
And that's how the gears stripped. People have been worried that... Because they're like, well, it's lubrication. Will it run out? Maybe. But
as it's a sealed case, you should be fine.
Yeah, and
I mean, if there's no way for it to get out, then it's not going to get out.
It's sealed inside, as far as I can tell. And those ratchets you were just hearing, that is the hip. It hasn't stripped yet, so for now, I'm going to say that the hip fix seems to work. I've heard cases of people who said that they didn't get enough grease on their replacement hips. I'm not sure. If there's really a way to check that, but I guess it's a calculated risk. In my case, it worked. So I want to talk about the individual guys briefly. Heavy Labor is my second favorite of the bunch, I think. Originally, my two favorites were Mad Blender and Structure. I still love Structure, but Heavy Labor is a surprisingly cool standalone toy. In part because his arm transformation, I really had forgotten that it worked like that. Like the sides of the big dump truck bed... are basically, okay. His arms are 2/3 of the dump truck bed. And I didn't realize that for the longest time. He's also just got, he's got a cool looking robot mode. He's very poseable for such a dumpy wide toy. I really like him. I like him quite a bit. He's striking. Neckbreaker. Neckbreaker is the most maligned toy of the bunch in all the forums I've read and everything. Honestly, I don't understand why. He's perfectly fine. I actually quite like Neckbreaker. The one problem with him that is definitely there is that his front shovel is very easy to just come apart. It holds really? Together in a very unique way, but it's really tricky to figure out the exact alignment of parts that make the blade hold itself together, because it splits into three parts. The middle part is on one set of pistons. The left third is on its own, like, separate extending, retracting, and swiveling mounting point, as is the right third. So you have to find this perfect spot where they all line up. Then they go together. It is a little bit haphazard. His vehicle mode, though, it's fine. And his robot mode, I don't understand what people's problem with his robot mode is. I think it's fine. The chest plate gives it a bit of character. The fact that there are three different ways to, like, he has three different foot transformations. I like two of them a lot. The one that's like X-Graver, I don't really care for, but the two different ways you can use the thirds of his front shovel as feet are really cool and give him a lot of character. He's poseable. I like his robot mode. He's not my favorite one at all. He's maybe a little bit unremarkable compared to some of the other ones, but his transformation is really cool, and his robot mode is fine. I do not see where people are coming from when they say Neckbreaker is just an arm to them and nothing else. I really don't understand it. If their reason is because his shovel is black, I have no sympathy. I'm sorry. I really don't care.
Don't they make a thing called paint?
Nope.
They don't make paint anymore?
No.
Oh, okay.
Stop making paint.
Okay.
There's a spot on, like, the part that becomes the front of his chest could have been painted another color to give his chest a color that wasn't black, and it wouldn't have impacted the vehicle mode very much. But I really don't care. I don't see what's so wrong about it. And I'm not saying you're wrong if you don't like it. It's just seeing the volume of vocal discussion and argument amongst others about the color of that shovel is like the silliest thing I've seen since the social media PR disaster we've been witnessing tonight. I'm glad
you don't have to be militant about your anger of the potentially missing paint app.
There is paint on his chest. There's silver paint on his chest. I don't know. I think Neckbreaker is fine. He had a problem. It's not really a problem so much as I had to give a quarter to half turn to two screws on his upper back, because the part, like the shoulder ratchet joint that connects him to Hercules was just too tight. I couldn't move it unless I had like an anchoring metal stick in there. And so I went back and gave a couple quarter turns to the springs in his shoulder blades, and now it is perfect. His storage for the Hercules hand in vehicle mode is probably the weakest of the bunch for storing parts, but I guess that's marked against. I don't know. He's fine. He's not bad. He's not like a blemish on the six figures. He fits in with them perfectly well, in my opinion. He also has a cool thing. When he turns into an arm, you can kind of finagle parts to have like the now connected 2/3 of a shovel blade form this like unified punch glove on the front of his fist, which is kind of cool. The only problem is that because of Dr. Crank's crane boom, his articulation as an arm is somewhat limited in the shoulder because he bumps into the crane boom. But there's a real easy solution for that, which I might actually do permanently, is just not have the crane boom on the shoulder. I found I can mount the crane boom on the back of one of his arms and it still looks okay to me. But that's just me. That's the nice thing about Hercules is that there are pegs and ports, like alternate pegs and ports for a lot of his bits and pieces. The one thing that sucks about the instructions is that if you follow the instructions, Neckbreaker's face is literally staring directly forward into the side of Hercules' head from inside his arm.
Hey, but how you doing?
But you can swivel his head around, so you can fix it. It's fixable. It is kind of uninspiring how he just has a sort of folded up third of a shovel sticking up there. It doesn't quite match up with the awesome looking folded like scooper arm from X-Graver. But nonetheless, it's still pretty cool. So you have them all connected together and you have your Hercules. This is an impressive looking toy and I love it. It has limitations. It is not super poseable. It is poseable. It is quite poseable. But it does have its limitations here and there. It's not going to be able to do every pose on the planet, but it does a whole lot more poses than most combiners have been able to say they can do. And it has all the major points. Like, it even has a waist swivel, thanks to heavy labor. Yeah. Oh, Neckbreaker does come with the glasses. I didn't try to put the glasses on Neckbreaker's head, even though the instructions say you can, because number one, I held them over his face and it looked really stupid. Number two, everyone who's done it said that that broke the glasses in half at the nose. So I didn't do it. And the glasses, I don't like how they look, really. Like, they're kind of a fragile part. They feel kind of like porcelain glass in my hand. Or sorry, more like porcelain paper in my hand. And because of the way that they mount onto his face, they don't really line up that well with his eye line. Like, the top half of the shades are where his eyes are, and because of the light piping, his eyes shine really brightly, and then because the rest of his face is silver, the rest of his face looks different no matter what you do, so it doesn't look right, because you can see everything through them. I have seen people do a fix of, like, painting the back end silver, or putting, like, shiny paper on the back end of them. That surely would help, but I just don't really care. You can leave them on Hercules' head when he's in Dr. Crank mode, which is kind of nice. But the combined mode, I love it. I think it is amazing that this thing even exists. Here, I'm going to shake him. He did not come apart in any way, shape, or form. And I just shook him like a baby that can't think about math anymore. So
nice.
I like him a lot. Is he worth the $600? Number one, if you get him from the right places, you're not going to pay $600. But he is an expensive toy, but I really do think he's worth it. Because he is so, if anything, he is so solid. At least so far. Maybe he's going to break one day. I don't know. But I just shook him really, really hell of hard, and he didn't snap apart all over the place. And I got to say, like, this guy, if anything, this guy is just a really cool chapter in the history of transforming robot engineering. Six somewhat large transforming robots that combine into a very large bipedal robot that has very human proportions, and it doesn't break as soon as you shake it. Don't treat it like a kid's toy. Like, you got to be kind of careful with it. I don't know if all the ratchets are going to strip eventually, but for now, they're fine. And it really helps that he has those ankle tilts, because those allow him to pull between the ankle tilts and the thigh swivels. Hercules, as a combined robot, is able to stand in some really nice natural poses, as well as more dynamic ones. Really cool toy. I'm glad I got it. If you're going to drop money on all of them at once, maybe that's not quite worth it. If you're going to get them in parts, just make sure that one of your blocks of robots has Mad Blender, and make sure the other one has Structor or Heavy Labor. And then it should be satisfying. But yeah, I am very glad. He's worth it in one way or another, be it your interest in engineering, be it your love of Devastator, who he totally isn't, be it just the fact that you like combining robots. Because he's so solidly built, he makes the money worth it given the nature of his production run, in my opinion. Is he going to be a bang for your buck? Is he going to feel like $600 a toy? Probably not. But if you appreciate the engineering, or at least if you know where it's coming from, it'll help a lot. And then also, he's one of those toys, I think I talked about this before, he has that factor of when you mess around with him and you have him, you're holding this combined robot in your hands, the last thing you're thinking of is how much money it costs.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I can think of off the top of my head. Aaron, anything you want to say?
No, it's, I'm waiting to get them all myself before really throwing down the the final say on the combined mode, of course. I mean, Jared's was impressive enough to make me go out and spend $300 by the time everything got shipped and whatnot on a huge chunk of this. I think I'm going to wait and do the rest of them parts and pieces. There is that whole convention thing coming up in a couple months that I should have been saving a little bit more for.
Well, if you were saving to pick up this toy at that convention, you might not be able to. But
well, yeah, no, that's, I mean, it's totally not my intention to do that. I might maybe get one part there or hopefully browbeat a certain person coming from the United Kingdom into buying some of these parts.
Oh, and you mean? Well, this is the big problem. If they're going to confiscate things from dealers,
oh, I didn't even think about it
How are we going to make Boardwise buy Hercules?
That's a good question. Well, they'll probably all be in.
He did it. He's the one who instigated this.
Yeah.
This is how Boardwise is getting out of what we were going to do to him. Is he's going to make it so all the Hercules are going to get confiscated? That bastard.
What we'll have to do is just find the seedy underbelly of BotCon, do the room-to-room trading.
We're going to drag him along to the room-to-room trading?
No. It'll be you go to the room, and then you get blindfolded, taken out the other door, turned around four times, walked down a hallway, down a flight of stairs, up the elevator, down another flight of stairs, and you get to go into another room. And then you can buy toys there.
We just wrap him up in chains and tell him he can't leave until he throws six bones down.
It's like when Batman brings someone to the Batcave. You just gas him and drag him there.
Vicky Vale him. Omegas, do I need to try to convince you?
One more day. I swear to God, everything comes one day after the recording. Tomorrow I get my X-Graver.
Well, you know what?
And
I was really worried that I was going to be the only one with a Hercules. This just means we can make this our new third-party thing that we all get over the next couple weeks.
Next couple months.
No, it's going to be weeks for me, because I've already bought three more, and yeah.
Oh, man. Cheapening the hobby day by day. And then there's that rumor that they're going to have a seventh bio card, presumably for Hercules himself. And it'll be released in some special way.
The $600 gift set.
Heyo!
Oh!
G2 colors, what? That's all the on-topic stuff I got this week. Let's go into off-topic. I want to start off off-topic. I got Amazon.ca packages, a package, CDs, music CDs. I buy music CDs. I talked about this at the beginning of the show.
Ancient.
I also got a CD by a group called Ogre, O-H-G-R, which I was introduced to by my new friend Crinsin, who I met at MagFest, and she was totally into the same music I was, and was like, listen to this, and it was some Ogre, and I was like, that was awesome, I'm gonna get this. Then she got me into Kesha, because this place is gonna blow, I also got an album by a group, an Austrian group called Nachtmar, which translates out to Nightmare. It's the male vocalist from Lame Immortelle. It's just his EBM project he wanted to do. I say EBM, it's more like dark industrial electro wave. And it's fun. The album is called Semper Fidelis, and it's got this single called Can You Feel the Beat, which has this awesome video where he literally just presents his band as a military force akin to Cobra. Complete with military uniforms and armbands that have a giant N on them. And the song lyrics are pretty much him stating his declaration of world nightclub domination. I'd link the video, but there's a nipple in it, so I can't. But it's fun stuff. I also got my Glios stuff. I got my blocks. I got my vinyls. Vinyl vehicular goodness. So Glios released this thing called The Block. And it's a two-part swiveling vinyl thing. It's kind of like the old Microman coffin that you could put the figures into. But the cool thing about it is it has these parts you can actually knife out with an X-Acto. And if you knife along the sculpted lines, you can then start jamming things in, like arm pieces from other Glios vinyl stuff, like the rig. So I got a couple, and I actually made a video when I was cutting those circles out that I'm going to put up as a V-build sometime. But I've got one with just like two parts from the rig wing, two short rig arms in it. It's the Block Fighter build from the Glios blog. It's really cool. If this Glios vinyl stuff can be made more readily available, probably via being unpainted and thus a little bit less expensive, because I have some of the unpainted stuff they sold too, which was just unpainted black vinyl. I think this could really be fun for people, because all you need is the bravery to cut out the four circles, and then you can do so much cool stuff. I am going to share a picture with you guys from when the block dropped, which just shows a whole bunch of different builds done by cutting out the four circles. Some of them also involve cutting out circles in the wings, which is to make them big rig ready. But just the sheer number of these vinyl parts, which all swivel around. You can just make them look like gun emplacements, tanks, little robots, 80s NES spaceships. I love it. I love it a lot. I really wish I'd been able to get another rig wing or something so I could have four wings so I could cut into two of the wings and do all of those things in that picture. But I only have one set of wings and I don't want to cut into them because I'm a pussy. So I'm really into this thing. It's super fun. Hopefully in March, when the next drop happens, they're going to have a lot more blocks than they did the first time. Matt Doughty apologized profusely, saying that he didn't have a lot of blocks made because he honestly didn't think people would dig them as much as people ended up digging them, because they are just really weird looking things. They're literally a two-part crate. But the customization side of it is just, it's amazing.
See, that's the way you be a customer service bro. Apologize. Say, hey, next go around, we'll fix it. Sorry.
And guess what? He apologized without anyone even complaining. There were some people saying, oh, it sucks that the block sold out in like 10 minutes. He just said, hey, guess what, guys? I'm a bonehead. It literally, I think that's word for word what he said in the blog. I'm a bonehead, and I didn't think that I would need to make that many. Because there are realities of production for Glios, too, because he's partnered with a factory in China that produces all this stuff. And there are costs involved with making things. And Matt Doughty, to his credit, always errs on the side of less.
Yeah.
Which is good because he sells these things practically at cost.
Yeah. So, when you're a one man band, that is understandable.
And it was raised on the blog. He actually answered the question. Someone asked, is there any way you could do pre-orders for these things? And he said that just would not jive with the way they do business. Yeah. The business model they used for Glios is one based on everything that is sold is not only in hand, but has been personally quality control checked by him in his garage. So hopefully there will be more in March, and hopefully the unpainted vinyl will become readily available year-round sometime this year. I really hope that'll happen, because the more of it that's available, the more, and especially when it's unpainted, you'll have more courage than cutting into the hand-painted stuff. If you can just convince people, get a block, get a whole bunch of stuff to stick in it, and then cut out those circles. I think the fun of this could be made really it's not going to be for everybody, but there are going to be people who do it, and I'm really sure are going to say, hey, I didn't think that was going to be fun, and this is kind of fun. Also, because of this, I have a rig with two of those long double-barreled cannon arms. I have a rig with two of those on, and it looks like ED-209, and it's kind of cool. Usually rigs are, when they aren't the wing rig, they're asymmetrical. And so now I can have a symmetrical rig, and that's kind of cool. There's also some other cool stuff in that drop. There was the orange and black guys who go with the block and the rig. Like, they're the same color scheme. And they're supposed to be the guys who are driving those things. But I also, this is the thing, the Gendrone figures, like the robot guys, usually they don't sell out. So even though these ones are, they're called the Shock Force, and when you guys see the pictures of them, you'll see why they're called the Shock Force, because they kind of look like Shockwave. usually these guys don't sell out, so I thought, hey, when this drop happened, I was going to get a check on a Wednesday, so I was like, I'm sure I can wait 3 days and order a whack of these purple guys. Then at the last minute, I was like, I'll order the bare minimum of like the main guy with the slit visor head and a couple axis joints and the Glian. So I ordered just the bare minimum. I skipped the guys with the funny looking dome heads. I skipped the big fat ones. They sold out. in like 20 minutes. But the freebie I got with my order was one of the ones with a dome head. So I have at least enough to build like that, the guy in the first picture. I have all those parts. So that was really cool. I love that the GLaDOS guys throw in these random freebies, and I especially love that my freebie was a figure that I missed out on buying.
Yeah.
So that was really nice surprise.
That there is good customer service.
That sure is.
And kind of, you know, only selling what you got and then making sure that people get extras when you have extras. That's the way you do it, man.
That was a record-setting drop, apparently, for them as well. Like, GLaDOS has, I think that was the highest traffic. Like, the store actually did get white-screened for a moment.
Huh.
And they still had everything shipped out within a week. This is like a 4 or 5 man operation when they pack stuff. They got it all shipped out with tracking numbers in a week. Some people still managed to get their stuff from this drop within 7 days of paying for it. And the shipping within the States was all under $20. The shipping to me was, I paid $20 for shipping, and on the label of the box, when I picked it up from the post office, said that they paid 26 something for shipping. But they charged me a flat rate $20 for shipping. So, hey, guess what? I like GLaDOS and I like how it's run.
Yeah.
It's not,
I can't say that I blame you.
I always say the aesthetic of it and the play style, it's not for everybody. But the way that the company is run, I'm glad that something that I dig is run this well. I think it's really well done. That's all the off topic that I got. Aaron.
Yes.
Tell me about your cheesy collection cheapening whatever.
I got the Kamen Rider Forze belt from Random Factor. He was selling his, and specifically, like a jerk, sent me a at message on Twitter saying, "Hey, I'm selling this at Axsmith. Are you interested?"
What a jerk.
I was like, I might be. He's $60 in shipping. That's less than it'd cost to buy it at retail. Screw you. Here's my PayPal information.
What a jerk. I cannot believe that he would sell you something at such a nice price. That's
And then he also packed in, I believe it's one of the Gashapon switches, the LX switch, so that I can get my belt to talk to Eric, I guess. But more of this action, and then a whole bunch of other switches that are down on the floor, and I don't want to turn the belt on because it's 1 o'clock in the morning and it's loud even with a hand muffling it, but it does all that stuff. And now, darn it, I'm on websites looking for switch sets to potentially buy, but not wanting to, but they're hell of a cheap to get more sets of two switch. I think first thing that I'm going to do is get some chopsticks and kind of hack it, since you can get to all those buttons.
You're going to cheat.
My best suggestion is get toothpicks with like flat ends and just like tape two of them together. That goes perfectly in there.
Okay.
Cheater.
Yeah. You have to remember, I'm still an engineer.
You're cheapening the hobby with your flagrant piracy of the...
Why spend $13 to do something that'll only trigger off two more sounds when I can spend 30 cents and get them all?
You're cheapening the experience that was designed for you by our benevolent overlords at Bandai.
Because your chopsticks are not shaped like a Gatling gun.
That too, it's just not cool.
Maybe yours aren't. Why do you think every time I go into the store, I end up coming out with an extra pair or three of chopsticks?
Hmm.
I don't like this conversation.
The only thing is to figure out how to get an internal combustion engine to run a biped robot, and the garage will move.
This conversation is kind of scaring me.
It should. I mean, yeah.
Welcome to the dark side! Is that all you got off topic? Or did you get anything else?
Yeah, it was just a giant splurge of Transformers, really. I mean, goodness, I had completed a line, got started on a new line, and dumped halfway into what is the largest third-party inclusion. Everything went towards Transformers.
I love this comment I saw somewhere. I can't remember. I think it was in the thread about the word confiscate, where someone said, cheapening the hobby. Not when they're this expensive. Am I right?
Yeah.
And I was like, ho, 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 ho.
Oh, yeah, he's funny because it's true.
So very true. Well, I guess that takes us to you, Omegas, to close us out for this week.
So my friend Drew works as a landscaper.
Oh, here we go.
And a couple days ago, he sent me a classic Lion-O.
What, like, and that's from it. The new classic Lion-O, or like the 80s classic Lion-O?
The 80s classic Lion-O, but the new one, not the out-of-scale one.
Oh, the 6-inch one.
Oh.
Yeah.
He didn't find that in the mud pile as well,
no,
did he?
No, that one was not in the mud pile. Because
that would be weird.
This one was still in the box, yeah.
That was in the mud pile, but...
Yeah. He just kept... It's just this magic hole filled with, like, retro 80s swag.
Man, my hole's full of nothing good.
We've known that for years.
I am quite impressed that we are finally getting, like, retail releases of toys of this caliber.
Mm-hmm.
He is very nice. I like how there's little attention to detail, like the overlapping muscle over things like his hip joints and his... shoulders. Mm-hmm. That way, you know, he does have a bicep rotation and hip rotation without looking odd when he does it. You know, the same way instead of his ankle turning, he can turn his entire boot.
That's kind
of
cool.
He does keep a lot of natural poses that way. I'm happy he can get into most of the poses that I really wanted. I mean, I'm not expecting him to, like, two-hand this Sword of Omens.
Yeah.
Which he probably could if I worked the arms just a little bit more. But he can get it pretty convincingly straight up. Which is, you know, which is, just makes me happy.
Mm.
Not two-handed straight up, but he does look rather triumphant.
Okay.
Like I've only really got two complaints, and they're just like they're just so minor, you know, me being used to, you know, Bandai Figuarty things like that. I wish for just a little bit more out of the head.
Yeah.
Like I wish there was an up and down tilt that looks like there is, but it's very minor. And I really don't like the fact that he only has this really angry face. Like this, like in mid roar.
I saw threads calling for third-party, like, head sculpts for that toy.
Yeah, that's what, like, I really do wish there was some alternate head. Just, like, pop on, pop, you know. Man, because that's not how Lion-O looked most of the time.
That's just when he's going all like, ho!
Yeah, but that's only when he's doing that.
Yeah. I'm sure there was some other point in the series where he was all like, and then like was gonna cut a fool, but
yeah. But 90% of the time, he was actually pretty calm. So yeah.
That's my review of Thundercats, by the way. And then he cuts a fool.
Honestly, it looks like how he did in the comic books all the time, like the modern update. This is a sequel to the old show,
where the kids were like sex slaves for Mum-Ra.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love those comics.
Michael Bay did what to your childhood again?
Nothing the Thundercats didn't get twice.
but that's a minor complaint. I mean, the fact that he comes with swappable hands is kind of amazing in itself.
Yeah.
My only real gripe, and the only legitimate one I have, is the claw shield.
Mm-hmm.
And for two reasons. Number one, in the show, the claw shield kind of looked like a tiger's mitt. And there's good reason for that. Like, here, it just looks like a glove. And I hear people going, well, what's the big deal? It's a glove. Yeah, but the glove only has three fingers and Lion-O has four.
Well, it's like a mitten. You know, you take the ring and pinky fingers and you keep them together because they're smaller and get cold.
Oh, but... Fingers are the same sizes as normal ones. There's physics being broken here somewhere.
Well, it's the pinky finger. It hides really easy behind the ring finger.
I'm not seeing it. It's a minor gripe. I give it that. I mean, there's just a little bit of aesthetic cheating here. Mm. Like, I do like the fact that rather than sliding over an existing hand, you pop it off and it is a separate ball jointed piece that you pop on. So it does have a lot more range of movement that I was worried it wouldn't have. My complaint to it, then the only real complaint about the toy, the only legitimate gripe, you can slide the dagger in there, the Sword of Omens mini version.
Yep.
Okay.
It does slide in there, but it's not quite molded straight on. Like, if you slide it all the way in so the Eye of Thundera is right there in the groove where it's supposed to be, you go and pull that dagger back out and the blade is going to be twisted and bent.
Aww.
Which is, yeah, it's really unfortunate. So it looks like his normal sword right out of the package, because it's a modern toy normal sword and cannot be packaged correctly. But, you know, other than that, it is a fantastic toy, very well painted all around. You've got, you know, the Eye of Thundera painted on both of them, you know, perfectly well. So, I mean, this is what I wish the old one was back when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
It's like between this, the classics He-Man, and now the classic Ninja Turtles that are coming out, like, I need a shelf of just like the Revenge of the 80s.
Hmm.
Only they were still making Transformers.
Yeah. That was the weird thing, was that, yeah, technically you could say that, because you've got these 6-inch figures for all these different classic characters, but you really don't have, like, an Optimus Prime that fits that way, because they're either very small, you know, like a Revoltech, or they've completely adapted the look to be more modern.
Oh, just get MP10. You'll be set.
Oh, okay, yeah. I'm going to throw down $200 just so I have a Prime that fits in.
$200? I wish. After this exchange rate, he's like $300 now.
Getting a Hercules. Why the hell am I complaining at this point?
Did you go off topic in any other directions?
Yeah, I have other directions. I have collectible updates.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Finally finished my little board of Ranger keys.
Oh, just in time for the end of the show and for all the new Ranger keys for the new phone.
Oh, God.
Wah, wah.
I'm so not getting into that.
Until you see it in a moment of weakness and you'll be like, I'll just get this one last one.
I'm not the kind that goes for upgrades. Like, I can be perfectly happy with what I have. Like, it's the same reason I have MP01, so I've never felt the need for MP10.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's just kind of how I am wired. So, I have 35 Red Ranger keys. I have them in this nice little display on my wall, and that's where they will stay.
Go Buster keys.
Quiet you. I did have to settle for the Gashapon Ninja Red.
Mm-hmm.
So I am kind of, yeah, pre-stickered and everything, which is unfortunate. Secondhand, I ended up going over him with like a straight razor, just cutting out all that excess red that doesn't look right.
Mm. Go Buster keys.
Quiet.
I will not say Go Buster keys again.
Haven't you done enough?
No.
I swear to God he works for Bandai. This is how he can afford Hercules.
Do. I have something else to say, but I'm going to wait.
Shut it.
Aside from those Ranger keys.
Shut it. Quick update on the Forze switches. I now own Hammer, V3, Deno, Flash, Winch, Gatling, Pen, Hand, X, and Hibiki.
I miss the days when you could say that, and I could say, but you still don't have the belt, do you?
Yeah. Those are over.
Those were the best times, because then it sounded like something was really just, it was an addiction.
No, addiction.
I got the belt first, and then it's going to lead into the others.
But I knew I was going to get these anyway, so you know I don't have to go back hunting now.
Mm.
I will say this: the hammer switch is incredibly gratifying.
I that's in the package that I missed today that I'm not going to see until the weekend.
It is fun. That one in hand.
I really want to get hand, but I haven't gone into the Gashapon only ones yet, and I kind of want to get the versions that have the shiny sticker because I'm one of those dickheads who needs the shiny sticker.
Oh, jeez.
Like, I am one of those people who is a busted, broken person who actually wants the shiny sticker.
God.
Not just the shiny sticker, but the flaky shiny sticker?
Yeah, it needs to be the one that looks like the DXs I already have, because I am a DX person. That was for you, Zeron Zephyr.
You do realize the Gashapon exclusive ones do come with the metallic sticker.
That's what I mean. I need those versions, not the candy toy ones that don't have the right sticker.
Okay. So, see, me, I can be fine. I'm happy with just these. Like, I'm looking at a whole row of them right now. I can't see one bit of glitter, and I know I've got them mixed around.
Mm-hmm.
It's fine.
I'm going to end your happiness, but I'm not going to do it yet.
Why do you delight in this so much?
I'm waiting for the opening, but I'm gonna wait until you're done, and then I'm gonna do it.
Hey, last thing I have.
Mm-hmm.
Off topic. I picked up a Hopper Zector.
Oh,
that was Piaz, right?
Yes, it was. And it came kind of glitched.
What did he do to it?
I don't think he did anything to it.
What did you do to it, Benjamin?
And I think the postman broke into it and screwed up one of the buttons. It's okay. It's okay. It was fixable, thankfully. So it is a working Hopper Zector. I do really like. Okay, it's a 2-in-1 belt. It's a really clever little gimmick for that.
Mm-hmm.
I do like the variation. The only thing, I do like that they both have a different voice for their commands, which creates a nice illusion of it being two different devices. Except for it kind of breaks because one of them is identical to each other.
Mm.
So, you have the kick hopper up, it change kick hopper is in the standard voice. You flip it over once, it goes right or jump in a different voice, and then flip it back down, goes right or kick in the original voice again.
Mm. Bastards.
This is before the days of the Forza driver, where they had three different voices in the same belt. I know, that's a minor quibble at best. I mean, it is a really cool one to have.
Yeah, it's one of the fan chased ones from back in the day. I remember.
Oh yeah, well, both Hell Brothers in one belt, and it is the generic belt for all the other Zectors too.
Mm.
So you kind of get a 3-in-1 on that one.
Yeah, one of these days I'm gonna go crazy and get all those Kabuto belts, and then watch as all the belts break right at the buckle, like poor Giga Beetles.
Oh, jeez. I saw that.
Yeah.
I'm done now.
Hey, guess what? Guess what? Bo's Ranger keys. Did you not see?
I saw.
Yeah, O's Ranger keys.
And you know what? The phone already makes an O's sound.
Yeah, so it's going to work. It's going to work in the one you have, so you got to get those. Maybe you can skip those Go Buster keys. I don't know. But hey, O's Ranger keys. I have an amazing update from BotCon on Twitter that I need to share with all of you. So today I went on to Twitter and I decided that, I need to lighten the mood. So I said, is this a bad time to ask about the at BotCon 2011 script reading recording? And then I retweeted every time it got retweeted, and then we did some exponential circle jerky retweeting. And then BotCon replied. It's the first time BotCon's ever replied to me about it. And so BotCon replied to me and like three other people, quote, we actually have a very cool project planned for that, dot, dot, dot. So that's the most exciting BotCon news that you could ever hope for, because it's about that script reading from BotCon 2011 that I was on with all those other actual voice actor people and Chris Latta's daughter. So hooray. Exciting planned project that is cool. Well, I think it's good news. Let me tell you, though, it's a lot of work retweeting everyone who agrees with you. It's like friggin'... I don't understand how other people do that. Aaron just died.
That was nothing.
Aaron just died.
That was not a phone falling off my desk accidentally.
I thought that.
I don't know why you'd get that idea.
I thought you actually just like slammed your face into your desk and you just gave up. You were like, I'm going to do this until blood is drawn. And then you just concussed yourself.
Maybe that's what made his phone fall off his desk.
Could be. But that is our super amazing, special, exciting BotCon Twitter update. Thank you all for listening, because that was also the show. We'll be back next week. When is Toy Fair happening? That's in 2 days.
I think so. Yeah.
So next week's going to be our post Toy Fair. We got our pre Toy Fair Bruticus fun times this week. Next week we're going to have hopefully a whole lot of stuff to talk about. I hope they show some cool stuff. Not actually really sure what they're going to show, but I hope it turns out cool. Anyway. Thank you, Aaron. Thank you, Omegas, for both joining me on this a very firestorm day in the Transformers fandom. I'm giddy right now. I have to get up in like 7 hours. So
4 and a half.
Excellent. Good night, everybody. We're gonna get some sleep.
It means, but you got some badass perpetrators, and they're here to stay.